Silver Streaks Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Galesburg Nissan on North Henderson Street. You just can't buy a Nissan for less. McDonald's in Galesburg and Knoxville. I'm loving it. By Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating in Galesburg. You deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill. Courtright Construction of Oneida. The right choice for your next project. Silver Streaks Football is also brought to you by Breedlove Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee. OSF St. Mary Medical Center in Galesburg. All together better. By Craddy Insurance Agency. Your local Rockford Mutual Insurance Agency in Galesburg. Proud to bring you GHS Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
We are just about ready for football here from a wet Van Dyke field, but so far not as wet as many of the fears thought it could have turned out. And as Jim Lee alluded during the pregame, that doesn't mean that we are totally out of the woods. It doesn't mean that we're not going to have some wet weather. Certainly the bleachers were plenty wet for people coming in tonight, having to bring along their blankets, towels, and whatever else they might have needed to help at least give them a dry place to sit. Pads to sit on of some sort, seat cushions and the like. But after a delay getting the sophomore game going, they were able to get that one in. And as we just mentioned, the sophomores fell tonight by a final of 24-15. It was their first opportunity to play prior to the varsity game under Friday Night Lights, as the freshmen have been playing prior to the varsity games each of the first 3 weeks of the season. In fact, the sophomores did not play at all last week, as the varsity now heads out onto the field running through the banner to a nice round of applause from not a bad crowd on hand under the weather circumstances here tonight. We do have some scores to run through for you. After one quarter, it's Mid-County up 7-0 over Mercer County. Halftime, Macomb was leading Monmouth Roseville. Oh, where was that one? 26-12. And Rushville Industry is ahead of A-Town at halftime, 19-12. Keep an eye on Western Big Six games going on tonight as well. We don't anticipate that there's going to be too much doubt about the outcome of the Alleman UT game. But we're certainly, Jim Lee, keeping an eye on that Rock Island Quincy game tonight, because Quincy, team that a lot of people looking at coming into this season with a lot of players back from a playoff team from last season, thinking that they're going to be awfully, awfully tough, and we're still not entirely sure about Rock Island coming off that 3-6 season last year. They've played some pretty tough competition these first three games, so maybe 1-2 not a surprise, but certainly I'm sure in Rock Island's world still a disappointment, so we definitely want to see how that one turns out tonight.
Yeah, that's early in the season. I think you would have probably, if you got on for the banquet, they might have said that was going to be the key game in conference play this year. Now, Alleman is better than many thought they were going to be, I think. Yep. And I consider them, honestly, the team to beat, given what they were able to do in not beating Metamora or Sterling, but being right there and actually barring some turnovers, probably would have won those games. So look out for Alleman. We've got to take care of business here as we close out this month of September. Moline tonight, UT tomorrow night, or next Friday night. Both very winnable games, but we got to play well. We can't just show up tonight and expect to win. Mike Tracy's going to have this team ready to play. Down here on the field, yeah, it's going to be a little slippery. I mean, the ball will be. There is no concern about the turf is still going to, with the new field turf, it's still got good grip. It's not like you're on a natural surface. So that'll be nice, but you could see the ball on the ground a little bit more just because everything still is a little bit wet from the rain we had earlier.
And there is a constant breeze as well. It's not entirely a heavy breeze, but it does pick up at times. It pretty much doesn't go away coming out of the south, maybe southeast, cooling things off a bit. Still plenty of humidity in the air, and that could make for some slick conditions trying to hang on to the ball as well, as Caleb Clay juggles it on a line drive on the skimming across the turf, and he returns it across the 35 to the 37-yard line, and the Streaks have pretty good field position starting off this opening drive of the game. Under Jacob Ross, who, Jim, we felt really kind of came of age last week as a first-year starting quarterback on the varsity level, a junior, played all of the sophomore games last year, but really, we saw some things out of Jacob, some maturity, some ability that we really hadn't seen through the first 2 weeks, and we were watching to see if he can keep that going here tonight.
Yeah, you know, Tim Doherty told us on the post game that's part of this offense. He said, you know, they really need that, and his confidence growing in that way makes us harder to defend.
He starts under center, hands off to the right side to Nick Myler, a little fullback dive up across the 41, across the 40 to the 41-yard line, picks up four on first down.
Well, and Ross's emergence as a runner last week gave Mike Tracy more to think about. Of course, we played on Saturday, so he was here to watch that whole game. He scouted us in person, so you know Mike's always up to something. He'll have a good game plan on defense.
Out of the I formation, handoff to DeAndre Morin, the leading running back on the season for the Silver Streaks. Advances forward to the 45-yard line. Streaks face third and two coming right out of the gate. Talking about Ross's development in our visit with Tim Doherty, actually off air, not part of the pregame interview, but just in recapping and discussing last week's game. He still talked about some of the things that Jacob did formation-wise that weren't what he wanted the team to do, which led to some of the miscues last week. He starts under center with a single setback. Myler finds a hole, and the second effort he's able to dive forward to the 48-yard line, and that's a yard past the marker for a first down.
Yeah, senior Tyler Womack brought him down, but not until Myler. He's always crafty, going to find that extra yard or two, and he kept possession of the ball for us right where there with that cut back into the middle and able to pick up two.
Big third down conversion for the Silver Streaks, who were 4 of 12 last week. They come into this game 9 of 28 on the season, just under 33%, as Morin goes up the middle. He gets just across midfield into Moline territory, short of the 49-yard line for a pickup of three more. It'll be second and seven.
DeAndre Morin's first carry, I know, as we were packing up on Saturday after the Marion game, but Marion broadcasters are saying, boy, that guy's quite a runner. They were very impressed with Morin, who got off to a slow start last week but still got nearly 200 yards.
This time Ross drops back, 4 yards back of center in the short shotgun. With the handoff to the left side, Myler running east and west, gets to the outside, all the way to the far side of the field, and run out of bounds at the Moline sideline, about a yard and a half short of the first down marker. Advances the ball to the 43-yard line, and the Silver Streaks face third and short here again.
You mentioned the wind coming out of the south-southeast, and actually that's probably a good thing, because maybe that'll keep that next front at bay over in Iowa. That's going to bring us some rain later and bring us the cooler temperatures. Right now, it's perfect down here. I mean, it's that nice breeze. It's not too warm. It's not too cool. It's turned out to be a nice night for the game.
Myler with a gain of six comes up as a third and long one. Handoff to the right side, and
I don't know,
met with a wall and looks from up here, and I'm taken by your angle too, Jim, to be short of the first down marker.
Yep.
Myler comes up.
Yeah, they're a good half yard short.
So no gain on third down, and a decision for Coach Tim Doherty, kicking into the wind with the ball short of the 40-yard line, or with that big offensive line, trust him and keep moving the chains.
Yeah, I think you're right. The big offensive line, you're on your home field. It's homecoming. Go for it. Get that half yard.
So a key fourth down opportunity early in the game, and the officials, I think we're going to have a timeout by Coach Tim Doherty.
Yeah.
And again, talking about some of the things he was telling me in our visit yesterday, you know, there was one time, last week on the second down, Jacob Ross goes under center, and that's when he gets tripped up with Aiden Gebrew. The center falls backwards. We end up getting all pushed back to a fourth down. Tim tells me yesterday Jacob wasn't even supposed to be under center that time. He referred back to the Dunlap game in week one when, if you remember, Ross was getting everybody set, and he was looking left, and the snap came, and he had to fall back on it. That was during a key drive. So, you know, he's saying there's still some things that, you know, don't always show up in terms of the development. You know, we see these things happen, but we're not entirely sure why. And I'm wondering, Jim, given some of those kinds of things that are happening on a key fourth down situation like that, if Tim's using this timeout just to make sure these kids know exactly what they're doing.
Yeah, and from the sideline, I was trying to determine, because we came up to the line of scrimmage, and then all of a sudden both of the coaches saw something they didn't like and quickly yelled timeout. I'm not sure whether it was a defensive formation of Moline or our offense, but it was a good move, and it will be if we get the first down.
Two tight ends packed in tight. Handoff to the left side, Myler. More than enough for the first down. He crosses the 40, gets down to the 37-yard line, And whether it was the timeout, getting the kids settled, changing up the play call, whatever it was, it pays off, and the Streaks get the fourth down conversion and move the chains on a good hard run by Myler. Ball will be spotted at the 36-yard line for a gain of 6 when they needed a half a yard. Everything's been on the ground so far in this opening drive. 5 carries by Myler, 2 by Morin, 26 yards total. And the snap to Ross. Now they go to the air. The catch by Myler to the outside, inside the 30, and tackled at the 25-yard line. And that'll be a yard past the first down marker. Streaks move the chains again on the first pass play of the night.
Well, compliment number one of the night on Nick Myler, and there'll be money every night. He always runs with such a sense of purpose. He really doesn't do much hesitation. He's going to be going north-south and going to have his shoulder pads lowered and pick up those extra yards. He's a hard runner.
Ninth play of the drive, Morin up the middle into linebacker territory, spins off a man inside the 20 down to the 18-yard line for a gain of 6 more, and the Streaks very efficient on this opening drive. Have now taken 3.5 minutes off the clock. Started back at the 37-yard line. They're down to the Moline 18 now on 2nd and 4.
At this rate, this could be a very quick game tonight because we expect Moline to do the same thing under Mike Tracy, run almost all the time. That's what they did last week. And, of course, the game situation can dictate what you're able to do, but at this pace, we're going to have a quick first quarter.
Tyree Mitchell runs the play in from the sideline. Patrick Bond sits down, 3 wideouts to the left. It goes to Morin, trying to bounce to the outside inside the 15, cuts up field, dragged down inside the 10-yard line, but a flag comes down from the far sideline. Morin has enough for the first down. It'll be first and goal for the Silver Streaks, pending the penalty.
Moline players are clapping.
Yep, the referee was talking to them. It's a hold against Galesburg with the flag down at, what, about the 12, maybe the 11-yard line?
Yep.
So they'll march it back from there back to the 20. Streaks will end up losing only a yard in terms of where the play started.
Had a few key ones last week on drives that had some penalties and really hurt us. Also had a couple of defensive penalties, major ones on the Marion drives that didn't help our cause either. So hopefully we won't see many of those flags tonight. I'm sure that was addressed in practice this week.
Move the ball back behind the 20. At the 21.5-yard line. Short drop by Ross. Sideline pass caught by Caleb Clay. Lets his blockers give him some room. He advances into the 15 to the 14-yard line. Picks up 8 yards, and that's right at the first down marker. It'll depend on the spot whether the Streaks have third and short or they get a new set of downs.
Well, and Clay right there again. We complimented it last week. All these guys are doing a great job of ball security. He knew that he was going to get hit from both sides by the Moline secondary once he got up here to about the 15, and he really had that ball tucked away well, and you love that because, as we said, for years here we watched this team turn the ball over 4 and 5 times a game and had no chance.
Interesting third down, not even a measurement. Handoff goes to the right side, and the Streaks get more than plenty for the first down as they go to Myler again. He's been the guy on this opening drive. Picks up 2 more, and it's a new set of downs. Another third down conversion for the Silver Streaks on this opening drive. And we're now approaching the 7:20 mark and counting. And the Streaks get a first down at the Moline 11.
Linebacker Nathan Riney with the tackle. May have got away with a quick face mask there, but no flag thrown.
Handoff up the middle. Little dive play crosses the 10-yard line. Maybe just across the 10 for DeAndre Morin. And not much more than that. Gain of 2. It'll be 2nd and 8. Because now the Streaks advance deeper into the red zone.
Well, the Moline defense will get tired as the night goes along against these long drives against the big Galesburg offensive line. Max Snell, at least twice on this drive, has just pancaked some poor guy. Max is, what, 6'5 and 305? He's out there to play.
Streaks have moved the ball 50 yards on this opening drive. Morin bounces off the line of scrimmage, trying to get to the outside. Now gets the corner to the 5 and taken down inside the 5 on the Moline sideline to the 4. Morin bounced right into the line, popped back to the outside, and then it was a foot race, and he manages to pick up 6 more yards, and the Streaks have a 3rd and 2 here inside the 5. And for the 4th time on this opening drive of the game, Silver Streaks face 3rd down, but 3rd and short each time as we are now midway through the opening quarter. Streaks have had the ball, and now Galesburg calling another timeout.
You could probably hear that one up there, couldn't you?
Yeah, well, I saw him before I heard it.
I heard it from my left, and, yeah, he was emphatic about getting that. They don't want to have any miscommunication out here and let this drive go for naught, because it's been exactly what you'd want opening the game, take a lot of time off the clock, keep the defense out there working, and a big third down and two. We're in two-down territory unless
sure.
unless we lose yardage here. I don't think you'll see a field goal attempt if it's anything less than 2 yards on fourth down. Hopefully we don't get to that point, but I've got to think 6 points are bust on this one.
Yeah, streaks can get a first down. They can get a new set of downs without getting the touchdown in a, you know, lesser scenario. Not necessarily a worst-case scenario, but a lesser scenario. It's third and two from the four. They would have to get to about the 1.5 for a first down, but obviously it's, as you said, Jim, it's all about scoring here. But more than anything, the timeout would indicate not making a mistake. This is the 15th play of the drive. Actually, the 14th play of the drive. There was one penalty in there, which the Streaks were able to overcome and came back and got the first down anyway. Single setback is Myler. With two wideouts to the right, one to the left, they go to Myler. Gets hit at the line of scrimmage, but he rolls over the Moline defender.
Might have got a yard.
I mean, the Moline defender got down, and somehow Myler got his body up and over, so that at least gave him a little extra before the knee came down, but not enough for the first down. It's fourth and one at the three.
I think they had two plays called here. The guys didn't have to look over the sideline for long. I think they knew what they wanted to do on third down.
Two wideouts to the right, none to the left. I formation behind Ross as the Streaks go for it on fourth and one. Myler Morin down low, dives forward. Close to the goal line, it's a first down for the Silver Streaks. First and goal inside the one. But a big fourth down conversion there, second on this drive.
Yeah, that looked pretty old school right there. They went ahead and led, followed the big line and led Morin ahead of Myler. And I think Morin must have had a nice block. He came out of there high-fiving everybody, and so nose of the ball just shy of the goal line here on first and goal.
16th play of the drive as we approach the five-minute mark in this opening quarter. Ross takes a snap, handoff right to Myler, and he cuts back to the middle for the touchdown. He got hit behind the line of scrimmage, but he bounced off, drove forward, crossed the plane, and the Streaks have an early 6-0 lead, 5:05 to go first quarter.
Talk about a workmanlike drive.
That, I guess.
Moline, defensively, there weren't many holes there, just small ones, and we just pounded and pounded and pounded. No big plays, just enough to grind down the field.
Joe Anderson in for the extra point kick. Clark Hawkins with the hold. The snap is down. The hold is good. The kick is good. And the Streaks with a 7-0 lead. Impressive opening drive on casino night for homecoming here at Van Dyke Field. 7-0 Galesburg. You're listening to Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
With the Young Ford Pro Football Pick'em, there's a weekly winner as well as a grand prize of $500 and more.
You have a chance to win a $50 Cherry Street Restaurant and Bar gift certificate each week with a Young Ford Pro Football Pick'em. Get signed up by logging onto our website at WGIL.com. Look for the Young Ford Pro Pick'em icon near the top of the page. Make your picks each week during the regular season and you could win.
Pick your teams now at WGIL.com.
It's the Pro Football Pick'em with Tompkins State Bank.
93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Congratulations to Josh Scholl. He was a first week's winner in the Pro Football Pick'em. He won a $50 gift certificate to Cherry Street Restaurant and Bar. You could be a winner as well. Get signed up at WGIL.com.
Silver Streaks go 63 yards in 16 plays. Galesburg takes 6 minutes, 55 seconds off the clock on the opening drive. And Nick Myler finishes it off with a 1-yard touchdown plunge. And the Anderson extra point makes it 7-0. Very impressive opening drive for the Silver Streaks. Going for their fourth consecutive win over the Moline Maroons after losing to Moline 19 years in a row. So this will be the Maroons' first possession with the kickoff coming from the senior Joe Anderson with the ball sitting at the 40-yard line and a line drive kick spinning to the far side of the field and a short kick taken at the 21-yard line and the advancement upfield across the 35-yard line and stopped short at the 37. So the Maroons will have it at the exact same starting line that the Silver Streaks did on their opening drive, as we are just under 5 minutes to play opening quarter.
And I'm sure a Mike Tracy offense is going to try and do exactly to us what we did to them, keep it on the ground and march it down the field. And Moline, as you talked with him in the pregame, talked with Tim Doherty, how Moline had really varied from what they had done for years past, threw the ball a lot more the last couple of years. But now they're going to be back to running it a little bit more. They've got some good athletes, so watch out. A lot of seniors on this team.
Moline has thrown only 15 pass attempts all season long, and the play goes up the middle and goes nowhere on the opening possession.
Big hit there by Matt Ricketts. Lost his helmet. He hit the guy so hard. He's got to come out for a play. Once your helmet comes off, you're done for the next play, I guess.
Gain of one for Noah Mosier on the opening drive. They actually spotted the ball at the 39, so he got a couple of yards farther on the return than I thought. The wishbone lined up behind the quarterback, Mosier. Handoff goes to the last man through. A little misdirection across the middle. Well read by the Streaks defense. Nick Myler assists on the takedown. And the tackle to DeAndre Morin. So those two guys getting it done on both sides of the ball.
Darby and Ollie with the carry that time. He just 5'7", 160. But I could just from that carry, you go, man, that kid's quick. I mean, he really had some quick footwork and cut back inside there. He's one that whenever he touches it, we better have a couple of helmets around, because he could go a long ways in a hurry.
They can mix it up well. A lot of guys have carried the ball for Tracy's club as the pitch goes to the outside on the option, and getting up the far side of the field goes Quayshawn Wilson for a first down into Galesburg territory, down to the 44-yard line. And just like that, a pickup of 12, and Moline is on the move.
Well, and some teams through 3 weeks of play have had a soft touch, but Moline's had three straight, I think, Chicago area schools, haven't they? The first two beat them, and then last week they were able to go over there and win one of those. But so they've been tested.
Yep, lost to Joliet West in the opener, 30-15, at Antioch, 30-6, and then one on the road at Rich South, 49-14 last week. And the handoff goes up the middle. Simple dive play across the Galesburg 45, inside to the 44, maybe the 43-yard line. Not a whole lot there for Tyler Womack. And again, four plays from scrimmage, and four different players have carried the ball for Moline. And that is vintage Mike Tracy. Ball sitting at the Silver Streaks 43-yard line. So Womack, Mosier, Ollie, and Wilson have all carried the ball on this opening drive, with the wishbone lined up behind the quarterback, Mosier. The fake handoff, now the pitch to the outside, goes to Ollie, trying to get to the outside. Streaks force him back inside and stops short of the 40-yard line with a flag down right at the end of the play.
When Nick Myler hit him low, got part of the tackle, but a flag down. I'm not sure what we're going to have here.
A hold against Moline.
All right.
So not a big gain, but it'll force Moline back 10 yards with the flag down. The official's talking it over with Tavion Cervantes of the Silver Streaks, and they are going to take the penalty, so not bring up, it would have been maybe 3rd and 5. They'll go ahead and push him back to 2nd and probably 17 or so here. Yep, it's going to go back into Moline territory at the 45-yard line. They've got to get it down to the Galesburg 36 for a first down. So 2nd down for Moline, back at their own 45, handoff to the second man through, and then slipping in the backfield. And there's what we talked about before the game started. Quayshawn Wilson bouncing to the outside, tried to cut back up the middle, and his plant foot, the right foot, slipped out from underneath him, and he was able to dive forward to the 49 for a gain of 4, but the inability to really keep his feet planted maybe cost him more. So 3rd down from the Moline 49-yard line. It's 3rd and 15. The snap and the handoff to Wilson, trying to get to the outside, cuts up field, and the Streaks force him out of bounds back in Galesburg territory, but out at about the 46-yard line. So they gave some up, but really they're only able to work it back to the original line of scrimmage. It'll be 4th and 10 with the wind behind the Maroons here, and special teams unit heads out.
Well, as soon as I say this, they'll probably drop back and throw a 50-yard bomb for a score. But that play right there indicates, Mike Tracy doesn't have much confidence in what they can do throwing the ball right now. That was an obvious passing down. And to run it there, you got to figure we're going to see nary a pass tonight from the Maroons.
Again, they pass the ball only 15 times in five games. Streaks have the rush on, but the kick is away. And chasing it down, Myler, and now lets it go behind him, rolling inside the 10. And then the ball just kind of comes to a stop right at the 9-yard line. So the Streaks defense holds. Galesburg takes over. 2 minutes to go in the first quarter, leading 7-0 here on Casino Night.
You know, we've won three straight years over Moline, and Brad, we had done this for so long and hadn't seen a Galesburg win over Moline. We wondered if we were ever going to see one. So to have three straight wins is really a cool thing. And down here on the field, it's so unusual for me to see. I mean, we're bigger across the entire line than Moline is. And, I mean, for years, they were so much bigger than we were up front.
Yep. That's how they were able to win 19 years in a row. And not just against teams like Galesburg. Hand off to the outside. Streaks tried all kinds of misdirection. Myler crosses the 15 to about the 18-yard line. And a good little gain on first down on what at first looked like miscommunication maybe, but then Ross is able to get the handoff to Myler, and he picks up 9, and now Moline calls a timeout. Mike Tracy is marching out onto that field. He looks like a man determined. He's got no clipboard. He's just taking it at those kids right in the middle of the huddle.
He sure is. And it was clear over here on the Galesburg sideline where Myler bounced outside. And I wouldn't think Mike would have really been able to see it that well. But I guess when you coach that long, you know what's happening in every aspect of the field. And he just came out there and laid those guys out. And now he's stomping back off the field. Nope, now he's back in the huddle. He came back for more. You see a basketball coach do that all the time. But in football, more on the sidelines. You don't see him come out on the field and lay it on the line very often. But Mike sure did there.
Well, the guy sure loves the game. And he loves to win, as you have to if you're in this business for very long. And to retire as an athletic director and go back into the coaching realm instead of just going up and sitting in the stands, going off fishing, something like that. He's not out here to just watch these kids go through the motions. Little dive play forward by Morin. He's got to get to the 20. And it looks like he was stopped short, and it'll be third and short for the Silver Streak. So at least for that play, the defense responded to the chewing out.
Well, they gave him the first down, didn't they?
I don't think so.
Yeah, there we go.
I'll be darned. How about that?
Yep. Well, you know, Mike Tracy, if nothing else, he'd like to at least see Moline get back to where they were when Dan McGuire was the head coach. And, of course, Dan was his assistant when he was at Alleman all those years ago. Dan now the principal at Moline. And I've got a feeling that might have had a little influence on why Mike's here right now.
Oh, big hole for Myler to the outside, and he spun down into first down territory across the 30-yard line. A big hole opened up by that offensive line, and Myler took advantage of it. He was through it in a hurry. And all the way up close to the 33-yard line for a pickup of 13. And it's been a steady dose of Myler, Morin, and Myler, and mostly Myler again here tonight. And the Silver Streaks lead 7-0 as we're under a minute to go in the first quarter and trying to move it toward midfield again. Morin feeling his way across the middle, and just when the hole starts to open up and he might run free, the Moline defense, the linebackers, and the secondary come in and take him down to the 36 for a gain of 3.
You know, from the time DeAndre got the ball that time, he knew those were going to be tough yards. He just ran right up on the back of his blocker, kept his head low. Like he had no ideas of that becoming a big play. He just knew he was going to try and get a few out of it.
Second and 7 for the Streaks. 30 seconds to go, first quarter. Up the middle goes Myler across the 40 to the 41-yard line. He'll be a couple yards short of the first down. And how about the Streaks? Only 2 for 4 on third downs tonight, but every third down so far has been short. And here's another one here at 3rd and 2 as we come down to the last 10 seconds of the first quarter. That gives you so many more successful opportunities. As we mentioned earlier, the Streaks are under 33% on the season from third downs, and they'll get a chance to talk this one over between the first and second quarter timeout. 7-0 Galesburg after 1 here at homecoming. You're listening to Galesburg High School Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Silver Streaks Football on WGIL is brought to you by Two Painted Ladies, offering upcycled furniture and unique handcrafted gifts. By Animal Medical Center, providing the finest veterinary care possible. And by Arby's on North Henderson Street in Galesburg. Your home for Silver Streaks Football, WGIL.
Psst, you. Yeah, you. If you're hearing me right now and you've got job openings, just think of the thousands of prospective candidates that can hear me too. I'm sending you and them to Galesburg.info keyword jobs, talking to people at work, home, and play. That's the power of radio.
Tune into Cardinal Baseball tomorrow as they take on the Cubs. Coverage begins at 11:10.
Cardinal Baseball on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
7-0 Silver Streaks as we get ready to start the second quarter. Galesburg facing 3rd and 2 from their own 41. The Moline Maroons have had the ball all of 3 minutes and 5 seconds in that opening quarter. Tell me that won't take a toll on the team as the night goes along.
Yeah, I feel like we're watching Ohio State and Michigan when I was a kid. I mean, that was what they do, just take it straight at each other. And so far, Silver Streaks have not been stopped, and hope they don't have that happen here on 3rd and 2.
So we switch directions. Galesburg will now go right to left with the wind behind him. Ooh, up the middle and tripped up at the line of scrimmage, but Myler dives forward, and I think he got it.
I think so. Yep, he sure did. Did a somersault out there.
You know, a lesser player goes down immediately on that. And somehow Myler stays up, keeps his feet, keeps his progress going forward despite the hit, and he picks up 3, and the Streaks have a new set of downs at their own 44-yard line, leading 7-0, flag down. I think we're going to have motion against the Streaks as Morin feels his way into first down territory at the Moline 47, but I think this one's coming back. Let's see. Yep. Illegal motion by the Silver Streaks. We're just underway in the second quarter. Galesburg had a nearly 7-minute scoring drive on their opening possession that lasted 16 plays. And they're in the early stages of trying to do it again here. And the motion penalty pulls them back to a 1st and 15. Lightning delay in the Rock Island Quincy game just before they were ready to kick off.
And that's in Rock Island, correct?
Yes. Holloman and UT tied at 6. 9:45 left in the first half.
Well, and I would think if there's a lightning delay for Rocky, there probably would be one at the Soul Bowl in East Moline, too. If you can, I mean, they're far enough or close enough that you could probably see it, so I guess we'll have to wait and see.
The 5-yard penalty takes Galesburg back. Ross in the short drop in the shotgun, handoff up the middle, and that doesn't get much. Moline's defense prepared for that and read that one very well. Myler gets a yard, and that's about it. It'll be 2nd and 14.
Kind of funny on that previous play after the penalty, the flag was dropped a few yards away from Tim Doherty, so he goes over there and he stands there and he's just holding it, waiting for the official to come. And if you're, can you imagine being the player looking over there going, yep, he's looking right at me holding the flag. That's not good.
Not sure I want to be the official coming over to get the flag back either. Swing pass to the outside, and ooh, Myler is wrapped up immediately, and then the ball pops loose at the end, and there's a scramble for it. Moline celebrates on the far side of the field, and they have it back at the 32-yard line.
Wow. I didn't see it come out. I just heard the roar from Moline over there on the far side.
There's a Moline player down right at the 40-yard line, and it looks like he's holding his shin. That's Nathan Riney, 6'3", 230-pound senior. And now he's laying flat on his back. So for the moment, the Moline celebration is tempered. But a costly Galesburg turnover, of which there really haven't been many this year. There have been other miscues that have been costly in the 2 losses in weeks 1 and 3, but not many turnovers. But here's a fumble here that gives Moline the ball at the Galesburg 32-yard line just over a minute into the second quarter.
You know, Moline had stiffened up on defense. Their last 2 plays weren't going anywhere. And they'd forced Myler back, and just before the whistle blew, they got it away from him. And so Moline finally in business now, and opportunity for them with a short field to tie this game up. And they're still working on the player is up now, very gingerly walking on.
Well, I guess.
It doesn't look to be a knee, which is great. That's it. You can take pretty much anything else. You just hate to see him get a knee hurt. Yeah, as he walks over to the sideline, he's doing better with every step, it seems. So I think we'll see him back.
Well, and after what happened in that Pittsburgh-Chicago game yesterday, easy to cringe a little bit more anytime you see somebody go down.
It sure is. Yeah, Gung, the player for Pittsburgh, the shortstop, out. What do they have, a broken tibia and an MCL.
Yeah. Back to pass, a rare one, under pressure, gets it away, and it's caught at the 25-yard line. Quayshon Wilson with the reception, and then dragging two Silver Streaks forward, advances all the way down to the 12-yard line. Under all kinds of pressure, Noah Mosher, just before he got hit, released it. It was complete, and Moline is inside the 15 down to the 12 after a gain of 20.
Yeah, it wasn't the prettiest pass, but it was effective as Quayshon Wilson comes away with it. He was wide open, and so just as we were saying on their last drive, we didn't think they'd throw it much. Well, they haven't. That's the first one, but it was effective, and the Maroons in business on the 12.
Wilson's first reception of the season. A high snap. Mosier with a handoff. Little crossbuck up the middle. Stopped short of the 10-yard line. Not much gain on first down. He'll pick up a yard for sure. Maybe two. And it'll be second and we'll go ahead and call it eight, short of the 10.
That pass completion was surprising in several aspects. Is really the quarterback saved the day. That could have been a big loss for them.
Yeah, sure enough.
He was able to get back, pick the ball up, and I was thinking, well, if he can just make a yard or two out of it, and then he found a receiver.
From the Galesburg 11, behind the wishbone. Hand off to the first man. Nope, the toss to the outside. Nearly tripped up, and now bouncing to the outside goes Shaquan Davis, trying to go for the corner. He's got the touchdown.
Well, Quayshon Wilson threw a great block on Nick Miler that time. I mean, Wilson is not a big guy, but he had momentum, and you could hear the shoulder pads crunch as he knocked Miler out of the way, and that was the thing that sprung the other back for the touchdown, and Moline an extra point away from tying this up.
They have now had six different players carry the ball for Moline in really limited time. They had their first possession lasted barely 3 minutes. This one lasts a minute 12. After the Galesburg turnover, it takes him only three plays to move downfield 32 yards. And now an extra point attempt to tie the game up. The snap is good. The hold is good. The kick is up and good. And now we've got a whistle as the officials come running in. And is Moline going to have to kick it again? Did you see a flag anywhere,
No,
Jim?
There's whistles, but there was no flag.
I don't see a flag either. False start against Moline. All right, so they'll have to kick it again.
I think he said not enough men on the line for Moline. So it's a formation thing.
Then why is he indicating false start?
I don't know.
Wouldn't that be an illegal formation?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, either way, it's 5 yards, and now Moline's going to take a timeout.
So both teams have used two timeouts with 9:39 still to go here in the first half.
Mike Tracy's going to come and work them over again.
The Macomb-Monmouth-Roseville game got started early tonight. Few games in the area. Kind of went with the strategy. Not only did they start early, Jim, I think they just kind of they called off either the JV or the sophomore game, right? Whatever they had going on.
Well, because, yeah, they had, when that heavy rain came, there were some big lightning strikes between 4:30 and 5 over in Monmouth, and so I couldn't imagine them playing, you know, obviously within a half hour of that.
In fact, parts of Warren and McDonough County were under that flash flood warning, I think, were they not?
Yep.
Well, that game's over already. Macomb won it 40-18.
Really? I thought that'd be closer than that.
Bombers had an interception that they returned, I think, on the second play of the game, and it obviously just continued to go downhill for Monmouth-Roseville. All right, so after the penalty and the timeout, and Mike Tracy currently is the 12th man on the field for Moline. And he's barking, calling out. Running in from the sideline is Andrew Parker. Now he turns around and look. Now the players are counting. Now Parker's going to turn around. No, I'm sorry. That's Mamadou Diallo, and he's going to turn around and head back off the field.
You'd think after a timeout you'd have that one pretty well squared away.
All right, so the Streaks still lead by one. The rush is on, but they just missed the extra point kick which finds the spot between the uprights, and it's 7-7, 9:39 to go here in the first half. You're listening to Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Selecting a football coach is a lot like considering your insurance agent. A great coach puts together the best team possible to win the game. Hi, I'm Mark Craddy with Craddy Insurance, your Sevilla Mutual Insurance in Galesburg. Consider me your coach when selecting the right insurance plan and deductibles for your home, so if your home gets tackled, you're able to finish the game. And our money-saving out-of-home discount is a perfect defense. So stop by Craddy Insurance on North Henderson Street for Sevilla Mutual Insurance.
Pick this week's winning teams, and you could win a $50 Cherry Street gift certificate with the Pro Football Pick'em on WGIL.com.
.39 to go here in the first half. Game tied at 7 now. Galesburg's dominated the line of scrimmage and the time of possession battle. But a costly turnover on a fumble by the Silver Streaks leads to a Moline touchdown. Three plays, 32 yards, and now the Streaks have Morin and Myler deep for this kickoff.
The huddle I'm in on the sideline was with Athletic Director Jeff Flater and some of the others here looking at their radars on their phones. I'll tell you more in just a second.
Kickoff a little bit short, taken on a bounce by Morin at the 8. Back steps once, now upfield to the 20. 25 wrapped up and taken down just short of the 30 at the 29. Go ahead, Jim.
I would say to expect a delay here pretty soon. They're watching things out in Iowa, and they were talking about if anything gets within about 20 minutes, they will clear the stadium because it's a big crowd, and they said they've actually had cases where lightning strikes were within 13 miles in the front part of the system coming through. So They don't want to take any chances, and so we're still playing right now, but they're really looking at those weather radars, and I would guess we'll have a suspended game here at some point. Will we get to halftime? Maybe. I'm not sure.
In motion goes Caleb Clay and takes the handoff, running left to right. Still running right. Flag down in the backfield as Caleb Clay spins off a man. He does not get back to the line of scrimmage, and I think we're going to have a hold on the Silver Streaks, and now a decision for Coach Mike Tracy. He might just take the loss of yardage. Rather than push the Streaks back 10 yards, he may take the loss of 2 because it'll also bring up second and down. But, yeah, it looks like they're already indicating that they're going to decline the penalty. You know, there's also lightning meters that have become sort of a standard piece of the equipment arsenal, especially for athletic directors, that can tell you how close the lightning strikes are getting. All right, so the loss of 2 on first down brings up second, and actually more of a loss of 3, isn't it? Second and 13 for the Silver Streaks from their own 26. And up the middle, and good running room for the Silver Streaks. Bouncing to the outside goes DeAndre Moore, and he stopped just short of the 35 at the 34 to pick up 8. So that brings up 3rd and 5. Medium distance, giving the Streaks better opportunity to convert here, much better than 3rd and 12 or 3rd and 10.
Yeah, I'm looking at my radar now. Big line of storms just in between Mount Pleasant and Burlington, Iowa. Stretches a little south of there and way north. Some yellow and red level storms as they get ready to head across the river. So we might get to halftime.
From the Galesburg 34-yard line, back to pass. Ross under pressure, escapes the grasp, a little toss, and it's caught rolling down by Jacob Carl at the 35, at the 36-yard line. A very short gain, though, a pickup of just 2, and a good job by Ross to get rid of that ball to avoid the big loss and get it just out of the outstretched arms of one of the Moline linebackers who almost deflected it, and a heck of a catch by Jacob Carl to make that even a 2-yard gain. Third pass completion of the night for Jacob Ross, but a punting situation. With the Streaks facing 4th and a long 3 at their own 36. A low snap. The rush is on, but the punt is away by James Hayden. And it takes a Galesburg roll, backing up Moline inside the 25-yard line, and not much room to return for Marcellus Johnson. And the Streaks stop him at the 27-yard line with 7:56 to go in the first half.
I'm glad we got that one off because Mike Hanley, number 48 for Moline, had good pressure.
He was coming, wasn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, in fact, he was there at the time the kick was. He just went by the punter. I think he was nervous he was going to run into him. And then when I was standing right here, and then when we kicked the ball, Hanley, you could hear him go, "Ah, doggone it." I think then he realized he should, if he just reached his arms out, he probably blocks that punt. But I think he was just a little worried about the penalty, and so he didn't be maybe as bold as he could have been there.
Well, given the way Mike Tracy was chewing out those guys earlier, I might have been a little nervous about picking up a penalty myself. And off to the left, and it goes to Shaquan Davis trying to bounce to the outside. Gets to the 30-yard line for a pickup of 2, second and 8 for the Maroons, as we are tied 7-7, 7:40 to go here in the second quarter.
You know, I got to thinking about the speculation that
Jeff Flater's out there on the field. That would indicate to me a weather situation.
Well, they're going to do it now.
The athletic
director
wouldn't go running out there if it weren't for a weather situation.
Yeah. Earlier, you know, the talk of, you know, what are we going to do if you postpone this game? I thought, well, we used to always play the homecoming game on Saturday.
Right.
At least when we first started doing this for a number of years. But it does tend to clog everything up with all the other activities going on Saturday and a dance Saturday night. And hopefully we'll...
Well, there's big volleyball going on tomorrow.
Oh,
they got
yeah.
a round robin to all take care of.
All the fall sports teams are somewhere tomorrow. But yeah, this could be a real lengthy delay because, again, I'm looking at radar and the heavy stuff is still quite a ways from us. This was just a little light green stuff on the radar, but just as a precaution, they're sending them in. I don't know. If it tracks the way it looks like, we could be hour and a half delay here. I hope not, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, and probably some people grumbling about the situation, and especially with the Lightning being behind the home stands, a lot of people watching the game with their backs, the press box certainly blocking their view, and a lot of people probably grumbling, thinking,
yeah.
Why? But you don't mess with Lightning. That's all there is to it.
Well, and that's the thing, because there's not been any Lightning sighted yet. It's just a radar thing, and actually you look back over the stands, and there's the moon. I mean, shining as bright as can be. So, yeah, I'm sure some are looking back going, really? I can see the moon and some stars, and we're going to go in? But, again, that's especially out here with the way this is. I mean, Lightning can strike anywhere, but the way that these metal bleachers are all built up, it's just a target-rich environment.
You got four light standards hanging high up in the air. Hits one of those, and people sitting below, it's just not good.
Well, and our hope coming out here was that we would get the game in and not have to suspend it and come back tomorrow. I mean, it's bad for the home team. It's worse for the visiting.
Sure.
Team.
Yep.
My guess is if this thing, even if it takes 2 hours, they may wait just to avoid having the scenario of coming back out here tomorrow. So we'll see. Mother Nature's in charge now with 7:36 to go in the second quarter of a 7-7 game.
And I have started my clock, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to send it back to the station. Nick Simpson is our broadcast engineer tonight. By my clock, we have just passed the 28-minute mark. Again, it's a mandatory 30-minute delay. When Lightning is involved, it's 30 minutes from the Lightning strike. So if we were to see Lightning again within this 30 minutes, then that would restart the clock for another 30 minutes. So...
And they have to. Everybody here has to leave. Now, I'm
right.
not sure about the press, but I think maybe we even have to. They said they mandatory clearing the stadium, and I think a lot of people thought, well, we'll sit and wait it out. Well, that's not an option here.
So at 8:24, here's what we're going to do. We'll go ahead and we'll at least ask for it back at, 25 minutes. How about that? And that'll get us to 8:50. So we'll plan to check back in with you folks here on the air at 8:50. That's about 25 minutes from now, and we'll update you then on the situation. And that would be 2 minutes before the resumption of the game if everything is going on schedule. So, again, we have a Lightning delay, a weather delay, 7:36 to play in the first half. Galesburg and Moline tied at 7 on homecoming here at Van Dyke Field. For Jim Lee, I'm Brad Benowitz. We'll talk to you again at 8:50, and now back to the studio. Let's just kind of stretch it out into Saturday. And, Jim, in all seriousness, I don't know if Galesburg High School has ever had three games on a Saturday in one season, because that's what this is going to end up being.
Wow. Yeah. Well, it's a good thing we at least got the sophomore game in last
night.
That's
right.
And, yeah, I mean, this is a busy campus out here today. Tennis courts and the field house with volleyball, and Athletic Director Jeff Later, I know, just doing nothing today, sitting around. Yeah, when we left here last night, he knew he really had his plate full. It was going to be busy today anyway, but now you toss in the remainder of a football game and trying to coordinate all that. Quite a project, but we're going to get it going here at 1 o'clock.
Again, we're tied at 7, 7:36 remaining in the first half. And how we got there last night, Galesburg had the first possession of the game, scored on a 16-play scoring drive that covered 63 yards in just under 7 minutes. Very impressive scoring drive, especially to start off the game. Nick Myler ran in a one-yard touchdown to make it 7-0. Streaks held Moline defensively on the Maroons' first possession. Silver Streaks got the ball back with 2 minutes to go in the first half, in the first quarter. And just a little over a minute into the second quarter, the Streaks fumbled the ball on their own 40-yard line, and the ball went deeper into their own territory, which is where Moline recovered. Three plays later, the Maroons scored. They had to cover just 32 yards. They did it in a little over a minute on an 11-yard touchdown run by Shaquan Davis. And where we stand right now, the ball is at the 30-yard line. Moline has second and 8. Again, 7:56 to go in the first half. 7:36 to go in the first half. And we're going to take a break here. When we come back, we did a short interview with Tim Doherty just to kind of touch base with the coach, find out what kind of the strategy is here. And, you know, having played a game last Saturday could work very well to the Silver Streaks' benefit. So when we come back on our resumed coverage of Silver Streaks football, we'll hear from Coach Doherty, and we'll have the resumption of the game here at Van Dyke Field. With the Streaks and Moline tied at 7, you're listening to Silver Streaks football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Selecting a football coach is a lot like considering your insurance agent. A great coach puts together the best team possible to win the game. Hi, I'm Mark Craddy with Craddy Insurance, your Savea Mutual Insurance in Galesburg. Consider me your coach when selecting the right insurance plan and deductibles for your home, so if your home gets tackled, you're able to finish the game. And our money-saving out-of-home discount is a perfect defense. So stop by Craddy Insurance on North Henderson Street for Savea Mutual Insurance.
Galesburg's News, Galesburg's Talk, 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
We're talking just a quick update with Tim Doherty, Coach. How do you, you know, I was thinking about this morning. I kind of have to get myself refocused. I mean, I was feeling good last night. I was ready to go. And I got to get myself refocused. You got to do it with 50 or so 16 and 17-year-old kids. Is that the biggest challenge here today?
No question. You know, I think what it'll come down to is the focus of our kids and their kids and getting redirected. You know, we do this quite a bit over the summer, and last year's team had to do it just about every day for 3 weeks. But, you know, kids can refocus pretty quickly, or they just can't, you know, and we'll find out here in a little bit. And it's just, you know, it's a disruption in routine, but, you know, you got to react.
Yeah. What was the consideration in terms of finding a time? I suppose you got to accommodate Moline as much as them. You can't just say, hey, come back here in such and such a time. We got homecoming to work with. You've got to compromise that a little bit. Is that how you kind of settled on how we handle this here today?
You know, I think 1 o'clock was a good resolve. You know, I mean, when you play it, you know, obviously you can't do it at night. And I don't know if I'd want to do that even without homecoming. You know, just, you know, let's go. Let's kick it off. And you know, the 1 o'clock seemed good versus two. We're out in a few minutes. Let's go.
Hopefully it works to our advantage playing last Saturday, too. I mean, it's exactly. No different for us.
Right, right. You know, and that's what I told the team exactly last night. And we had a walkthrough this morning. So, you know, it's hopefully that plays in our advantage.
So how do you use this sort of to your advantage? You said you already had a walkthrough. I was talking to Mike Washabaugh. I said, you know, we actually pulled out the film already. Is it a matter of trying to recreate the routine as much as you can ahead of what we're trying to focus as a normal game situation?
Well, as you know, I'm all about routine. We did our walkthrough this morning like we did last Saturday, you know, and the kids were there all there ready, focused up, and, you know, we're gonna roll today just like it's, you know, game one, not really game two or continuation. So, you know, routine takes care of a lot of things, and you hope that that's, you know, that they answer the bell.
I'm pretty pleased with what you saw last night out of one turnover that helped set up their score.
Yeah, you know, we had a penalty and the follow up with the turnover. You know, it's just, yeah, those are the things that we've, you know, been behind the eight ball in the two games we lost. So hopefully, but, you know, outside of that, we had a 18-19 play drive. And,
right,
you know, that's why, you know, that's what I want. That's exactly how I want to play.
Always, thanks for your time, Coach. Good luck, and we'll catch up with you later.
You bet. Thank you.
Tim Doherty joining us here for a few words prior to the resumption of the game between Galesburg and Moline. Silver Streaks and the Maroons tied at 7 as we'll be resuming this game again at the 7:36 mark of the second quarter. Moline has the ball. They're coming off a forcing Galesburg on a 3-and-out here early in the second quarter. So after getting the touchdown that got the game tied back up for the Maroons, they came back, got a defensive stop at the Silver Streaks without giving up a first down. And then on their first play from scrimmage at their own 28-yard line, got a 2-yard run from Shaquan Davis. And then the Lightning. In fact, Jim and I noticed Athletic Director Jeff Flater running out onto the field trying to get the attention of the officials and calling things off. So we knew then that we were in for a delay. And once we got out of the press box, actually Jim was down on the track, which is where he is now, as always, for home games. And once I got out of the press box, looked to the west, I saw the Lightning off in the distance. But it was not noticeable during the game by any means. But then once we got outside, we saw it. And then it just did not stop and continued and continued and continued. And finally, after about an hour and 15-minute delay, they decided to go ahead and postpone the game. Jim, considerably different weather conditions on a bright, sunshiny day reminiscent of last Saturday.
Yeah, breezy like it was last night, just a little cooler, the wind out of the north instead of out of the southeast. But, again, from my standpoint, I love these afternoon games because, you know, the lights are great at night, but you can just, there's nothing to beat sunshine. You can see everything so much cleaner out on the field, onto the sidelines, and so I like this. I don't like suspended games, but I do love playing on these afternoons when it's so nice in the fall.
And we talked about it last Saturday. This field really stands out. You say everything stands out, but this field stands out as well when you can see it in the bright sunshine like we have here today. All right, we're ready to resume. 7:36 to go, second quarter, and here's 2nd and 8 for the Maroons from their own 30-yard line. And the handoff goes from Noah Mosier, the quarterback, up the middle, and a gain of 5 on 2nd down for the Moline Maroons. And we have resumed football on a beautiful Saturday afternoon. The handoff to Tyler Womack.
Sorry about that. Matt Ricketts on the tackle for Galesburg. He had a good start last night, a big hit or two, and one of those had his helmet off as he came to the sidelines. And defensively, you know, we talk about those guys on the offensive line, but some of them are doing double duty, and Matt is, and he's doing a good job up front on defense, too.
3rd and 3 for the Maroons. They are 1-for-2 on 3rd downs in this game. Out of the wishbone, jumping on the left side of that Galesburg defensive line. And we've got a penalty. And is it against Jason Kelly, or was he drawn off? Nobody's moving from either team yet. In fact, they're looking at the officials just as closely as what we have of a crowd is watching here. Offsides on Galesburg. So that's a 1st down for Moline by penalty. Not the way the coaching staff wanted to see this one start.
No, when I saw Mike Tracy, the Moline coach, clapping his hands after the flag, I had a pretty good idea who that was going against, because he's certainly not going to clap against anything on his team. We saw last night, if you were listening, he came out and really laid down the law several times on timeouts to his team with things that he wasn't happy with.
1st down by penalty for the Maroons at the 41-yard line. Handoff goes to the first man through on the left side. And the offensive line helps move the pile forward close to the 45 as Womack comes up off the bottom of the pile after a gain of 3 to the 44.
Mike Velasquez on the tackle for the Silver Streaks. Number 50 grabbed him and threw him down to his right. Gain of about 3. So neither team has been able to rip off a real long play yet in this one. The defenses have been giving a few yards at a time, but not much at once.
Quayshawn Wilson, 3 carries for 21 yards. That's Womack's 3rd carry for 11. Shaquan Davis has a couple of carries for 13. Spear and Ollie have both carried the ball at least once, and here's flags as this play gets underway. And the Silver Streaks do get the benefit of this one with a false start against the Maroons. So moving back 5 yards, it'll be 2nd and 12.
Looks like the left tackle for Moline went out a good count early on that one. That was a pretty easy call for the officials.
Back to the 39-yard line. 2nd penalty on the Maroons for 10 yards in this game. No big penalties of any note. Silver Streaks did have one holding penalty on their opening drive last night, but that did not slow them down. Put together that long 16-play scoring drive that finished off in the Nick Myler touchdown run. Out of the wishbone set, Mosier, the quarterback, on the option pitch, gets it to the outside. Now cutting upfield, Quayshon Wilson, and nowhere to go. And he stopped immediately, and the Streaks defense was swarming into the backfield for a loss of three more back to the 35.
Well, I suppose Jason Kelly gets credit for the tackle. He was the one closest in the neighborhood, even though nobody had to touch him once he put his knee down. Just hope this afternoon's game is as intense as the Cub-Cardinal ball game was yesterday.
Well, not from a score standpoint, it wasn't intense. There were just a lot of other things going on.
Right.
Cardinal and Cub Nation roused up today. Mosier on the flip just gets it away before the tackle's made from the backside, running up the far side, Shaquan Davis. But the Streaks' pursuit is there. He is able to return it back to the 47-yard line, but a good 4 yards short of the first down marker, so the Streaks hold on third and long.
You know, on that option, that's where it's the most effective. If the quarterback can wait until the last second to dish it back, and that's exactly what he did, that's the most dangerous way to do it because you risk the fumble. But that worked out well. It frees up his back for some yardage around the left side. They make a good gain, and this gives them a decision to make, but doesn't look like they're going to think too long about this as the punt unit comes in.
Thanks for being with us here on WGIL, Galesburg Radio 14. We are back in action here on homecoming game day now, not night. And the Streaks jump off again, and if they are drawn off, the offsides penalty is going to be enough for a first down, and Moline has no question about it. They don't even have to wait for the official to make sure that they did not jump on that line of scrimmage first, and the 5-yard penalty gives Moline a first down.
Streaks head coach Tim Doherty, as any of us I think probably would have done, about 10 steps out on the field and yells, "Come on!" He was not happy with that, and that's about as bad a penalty as you can pick up. You've had the stop on defense, and you give them a second first down by penalty.
Last one was on third down, this one on fourth down when the Streaks would have had it back, and now the ball in Galesburg territory at the 48, and a big hit made on Shaquan Davis running off left tackle, and he is stopped immediately at the 45-yard line. Still picks up 2.5.
That big hit applied by Tavian Cervantes, number 32, comes up, really gets the most out of that left set of shoulder pads and makes the stop.
Second and a long 7 from the Galesburg 45.
We will talk with cheerleader Jensen Wren here in a little bit. I asked her if that would be okay. She said yes. It's an interesting story why she is the only cheerleader out here.
And Jensen also happens to be homecoming queen, so she's doing double duty in that aspect. Hand off to the right side as Moline goes up the middle, pickup of three more to the 42, but the Streaks defense holds it well, and it'll be third and we'll call it 5 here. 3:50 away from halftime, and we will still have a regulation halftime, so you might have heard us talk last night that we were going to talk with boys golf coach Steve Cheeseman. We will still have that interview for you on a traditional length halftime coming up. We're about 3.5 minutes away from that. Moline facing third and 5 here from the Galesburg 43. The option pitch to the right side, and there was not a whole lot of room to run. Quayshon Wilson, the Streaks did a nice job containing that from getting it to the outside. When the pitch was made to Wilson, he cut upfield because there was nowhere to room on the outside, and there was nowhere to go on the inside either as he stopped just short of the 41.
Yeah, Tavian Cervantes and Dalton Ramsey combined to make the tackle, but you're right, Brad. They took away that inside option, and you couldn't defend that much better from every angle than the Silver Streaks did right there. Again, we will see if we can't get them to punt this thing now. No penalties, please.
Long time to snap the ball. This time they do snap it away. The Streaks hold, and the ball punted downfield, rolling to the far corner, and it does get into the end zone with two Moline defenders on the special teams in hot pursuit. But the ball got into the end zone about 3 yards ahead of them. We do have a second cheerleader down there now, Jim. Jensen's still the only one actually in cheerleading uniform, though.
Mm-hmm.
I can only see the backside of the second young lady, so I'm not sure who it is, but she's got warm-ups out there pretty much.
Well, it's good to have a friend, though.
It is.
Jensen looks so lonely down there.
Football king is Jared Fredrickson, so she doesn't even have him to talk to because he's out on the field. Silver Streaks with the ball at their own 20, tied at 7, 2:41 to go here in the first half. Jacob Ross for his first snap under the sunshine. Handoff up the middle. Ooh, tripped up. Nick Myler, just as he was going, got tripped up at the 25 to the 26-yard line. Picks up 6. That looked like it was going to go for more.
Yeah, linebacker Dalton Dodd reached out. And, yeah, you're right. I thought Nick was off to the races the way he blew through that hole. And I think he did, too. But even when you're on the ground like Dodd was there, you reach that arm out and just get a trip and can save some big yardage.
Two on, two out for the Cubs. Bottom of the third, leading the Cardinals 2-1. Handoff left. Myler gets down low, runs into one of the linebackers and wrapped up there. Good job by Dalton Dodd again to hold him. Picks up 2. That's going to be third and a long 2 coming up here.
Yeah, Dodd, a nice. He was fighting off a block there, too. It wasn't like he just came over and didn't have any problem getting to the runner. He fought the block and made the tackle on Myler, who's a hard runner. So here we go down quickly, 3rd and 2. Streaks trying to march down the field and get the score before. It seems weird that we're going to go to locker room for halftime here in a minute and a half, doesn't it?
Especially as quick as this game was moving both last night and now continuing to move today. Streaks on 3rd and 3. They really haven't faced 3rd down and long in this game yet. Handoff up the middle. There's a hole for DeAndre Moore, and he's got the first down to the 33-yard line. Good hole across the left side. Morin's first carry of the day goes for 6, and the Streaks move the chains.
And if we're thinking about throwing the ball, putting much air under it, that breeze will be a problem for Jacob Ross, so we've got to take that into consideration.
Streaks are 4 for 7 on 3rd downs in this game and 2 for 2 on 4th downs. Another big hole across the left side, close to another 1st down with the ball all the way up to at least the 43. Streaks have to get to the 44. It'll depend on the spot here. The ball is down, nose of the football just short of the 44, and I think the Streaks will have 2nd down, and they're lining up to go for it with a minute 17 and counting here in the first half, tied at 7. From the Silver Streaks 43-yard line in the shotgun. Handoff. Morin getting down low, then tries to bounce to the outside. He works his way to the 45, so the extra effort helps him pick up 2 more. His 10th carry of the game for 45 yards. Myler with 14 carries for 55 yards. It's been a hard-earned 100 yards on the ground for the Silver Streaks. We're tied at 7 as we approach the one-minute mark here in the first half.
Not a normal call there with a minute left, but at that point you're just trying to move the chains, and that did exactly what it was planned to. Now we'll see if he can't get big yardage. Nope.
Well, it looks like miscommunication on the snap, and Jacob even fumble that one maybe?
I don't think so, but they kind of ran into each other there. It wasn't a very smooth transition, and the blocking broke down too, so that was a wasted down.
And again, the Streaks with only 1 timeout remaining, they had to use 2 of them on the opening drive of the game. And Tim Doherty doesn't want to be too quick to use it here, and here's a whistle as this play gets underway. We have a false start by the Silver Streaks. Here's somebody down there saying, "What are you doing?"
You could hear that, huh?
Yeah, I could.
That was on the far sideline. That was the Moline guy. I think it's the defensive coordinator for Moline.
Well, I don't know that there's even a... The referee used the towel on the ball and then tossed it back to the sideline, so that wasn't even for a penalty. So maybe that's why he was hollering, "What are you doing?" He wasn't hollering at his own players. He was hollering at the officials. Why are you stopping the game? Handoff up the middle. Myler bounces off a couple of defenders, and forward progress stopped at the 46. And will the Streaks use their final timeout here with 24? Yes, they will. 24 and a half seconds remaining. And 3rd and 9 from the 46.
Well, we're sure not pulling any trick plays out of the book right now. Pretty standard between the tackles attack here just before halftime. And last thing you want to do is make a big turnover. That's what cost us 7 points in the tie when we turned it over last night and gave Moline a short field, and they took advantage of it.
Well, and the Streaks have had miscues right before halftime in the Dunlap game, which ended up being a costly touchdown for the Eagles and a 3-point Galesburg loss. And then the miscommunication which resulted in the Marion touchdown right before halftime last week when the Streaks could not stop them on a long scoring drive in just over a minute, with just a minute left to go in the first half. And that ended up being a costly touchdown when Marion ended up winning by 2. So the Streaks don't want to have that happen again going to the locker room.
And I look back at the stands and I realize what the Lightning cost us in terms of fan base. I'm maybe, I don't know, maybe one out of five fans returned. I mean, everybody's got plans today. Of course, the student body getting ready for homecoming. And so it's a thin crowd out here. And
just a lot going on in athletics, too, which we referenced already. Handoff goes left, so the Streaks keep it conservative and close to the vest. And Morin advances it into Moline territory to the 49, but 4 yards short of the first down. And the clock rolling with 10 seconds to go. And if Moline's not going to stop the clock, the Silver Streaks won't even have to punt. Down to 3, 2, 1, and we're going to halftime. So welcome back. We played 13 minutes, and we are going to a full halftime. With the game tied between the Silver Streaks and the Moline Maroons at 7. Again, our halftime guest, Steve Cheeseman. We'll talk Galesburg boys golf when we come back as the Silver Streaks and the Maroons are tied on this homecoming Saturday, 7-7. You're listening to Galesburg High School Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Looking to spruce up your kitchen? Maybe add a decorative countertop or some new cabinets? Give Courtright Construction a call for a free estimate. They can create a one-of-a-kind countertop that has the look of real stone for a fraction of the price. Learn more at CourtrightConstruction.com. The right choice for your next project. Courtright Construction of Oneida.
Silver Streak Football and WGIL brought to you by attorney Tricia Blake at Blake Law Office in downtown Galesburg. Caring Hands Animal Clinic. Caring Hands, Caring Hearts next to Bard Optical on Henderson Street. And by Templeton Roofing. Best in roofs. Galesburg's commercial and residential roofing contractor since 1930.
People who insist that it doesn't matter who does your screen printing have lower standards than you. You know what you want. You know what you expect. Clean lines. Artistic designs. Quality materials that players will actually want to wear. Screen-printed sportswear like that comes from Breedlove Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee. Soft, comfortable fabrics, bright, bold colors, crisp school logos that profess your loyalty loud and proud. Find everything you need on and off the field at Breedlove's in downtown Kewaunee. Everything sports.
The official WGIL forecast for today calls for sunshine with highs near 70. Tonight, clear, low 45. Tomorrow, sunny, high 72. Tomorrow night, clear, low 48. Monday, sunny, high 76. Clear skies Monday night. And on Tuesday, sunshine with a high of 79. Currently, it's 66 degrees at 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
WGIL's coverage of Silver Streaks football continues with the GHS Halftime Report on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Halftime with Silver Streaks football and time to turn our attention to Silver Streaks boys golf. And head coach Steve Cheeseman joins us now. Steve, back in the saddle again, coaching those Silver Streaks boys golfers. And Steve, sounds like you're off to a pretty good start again this year.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Jim. We lost a lot of really, really important contributors from our club last year. And those kids had, we called it a year for the ages, where you finished third in the state and you just had some really, really fine performances. So I'm not going to say we're rebuilding, but we've had to rebuild some. And our guys have really bought into working hard, and they're making significant progress.
Yeah, it's always nice to have, in baseball they talk about top of the rotation guys. Well, it's kind of the same way in golf. I always notice if you have two pretty well guaranteed scores at the top, you've got a really good shot in any meet you're at.
Don't miss a thing. Stay connected every hour on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Galesburg's News.
Fox News Radio. I'm Lillian Wu. Arizona officials say they have the man behind the first of the Phoenix area freeway shootings, 21-year-old Leslie Merritt Jr.
The governor came out last night and said, quote, "We got him." Police took Merritt into custody last night inside of a Glendale Walmart. They say Merritt is forensically linked to the first four freeway shootings. A city councilman later tweeting that the Department of Public Safety linked a 9mm handgun recently sold at a pawn shop to the shootings, and police believe Merritt is the person who pawned that gun.
Fox's Will Carr, the suspect's father, says anyone who thinks his son did the shooting is a moron. GOP candidates are gathering in Iowa for a faith and freedom event.
Donald Trump will be here. This is a very socially conservative event. He has been criticized by some of his rivals for not being too up on the Bible and being reluctant to talk about his faith. So that may be something we can expect him to talk about here.
Fox's Carl Cameron, Fox News. We report. You decide.
Is that what you hear from your drains? If it is, there could be a problem with your sewer that's about to cause you a big headache and one heck of a mess.
Call my office at Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating to come out and inspect your sewers so you can avoid that untimely sewer backup. We'll send our camera down to identify any problems you are having with your sewer and give you an estimate on what it's going to take to make that problem go away. Stop that gurgling today with a call to Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating.
Exciting news from Dave's Auto Body. We are now F-150 aluminum truck specialists. We're one of the small percentage of shops in the state of Illinois who are equipped to handle this brand new truck. It's exciting for us. It's a great truck. Come to Dave's Auto Body if you need to have it repaired.
Silver Streaks Football on WGIL brought to you by Dickerson's Photography. Timeless images for you and your family. Office specialists providing solutions for your business. And by Dennis Twitty State Farm, helping you manage the risks of everyday life, recovery from the unexpected, and realize your dreams. Your home for Silver Streaks Football, WGIL.
Hi, it's Tom Meredith. Coming up Monday morning, we'll talk with Aaron Olson from the Knox County Health Department. We'll talk about their drive-through flu clinic coming up. That'll be just after 7:10 on WGIL.
First comes love, then comes marriage, then comes baby, and lots of visits to the doctor. If your family is growing, your healthcare needs are going to grow right along with it. OSF Healthcare can help. From the exciting moment when you decide to have a baby to the moment your baby leaves the nest, you can rely on our expert OBGYN in pediatric care. Even before your baby is born, you and your family can get prepared. We've got everything from Lamaze to sibling classes and more. And when the time does arrive, we'll take you into a calm birthing environment, complete with dedicated labor and delivery suites and private post-delivery accommodations. We promote newborn rooming in throughout your stay for the health of both moms and babies, which is just one of the reasons OSF St. Mary Medical Center has received the 2015 Women's Choice Award for being one of America's best hospitals for obstetrics. Learn how we're making sure your family has access to care that's altogether better. Visit osfhealthcare.org/growing.
Halftime of Silver Streaks football and time to turn our attention to Silver Streaks boys golf. And head coach Steve Cheeseman joins us now. Steve back in the saddle again coaching those Silver Streaks boys golfers. And Steve, sounds like you're off to a pretty good start again this year.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Jim. We lost a lot of really, really important contributors from our club last year, and those kids had – we called it a year for the ages, where you finished third in the state and you just had some really, really fine performances. So I'm not going to say we're rebuilding, but we've had to rebuild some, and our guys have really bought into working hard, and they're making significant progress.
Yeah, it's always nice to have, in baseball they talk about top of the rotation guys. Well, it's kind of the same way in golf. I always notice if you have two pretty well guaranteed scores at the top, you've got a really good shot in any meet you're at. You had them last year, certainly with Weatherby and Nesselrode, and this year it looks like Benbow and Peterson are leading you.
Yeah, and last year that's Koufax and Drysdale. that's some really good ones. And both Sean and Noah are doing a really good job. Noah's really been consistent all year and performed very nicely. Sean's game is starting to round into form and doing the things that we know he can do. Our other four players, five, six that are in the mix, they're making improvement. They're still trying to find their way a little. And our goal's always been, if we can get six players to play and six kids in the mix, then we like our chances. When you're depending on just two players, it makes it difficult against the competition we play.
Yeah, what are those others that are consistently helping you out in the three through six spots? Yeah.
Owen Hawkins has played number three for us. He's a sophomore. He's from the Hawkins family. They're good athletes. They understand athletics. And Owen has really improved in a big way over the last year. Brandon Leon, who's a junior, a very talented kid, working on a short game. Mark Mangieri, who's one of my baseball players and coached him also in basketball, a great athlete. Hasn't got to play as much golf. His short game has been a little rusty, but he hits the ball solidly, and his work ethic is going to lend itself to his scores continuing to come down. In the sixth spot, we've had a freshman, Lucas Watson. His dad, Dusty, has been our volunteer coach. He's had a great career here in golf as a professional and an amateur. And Lucas is a ninth grader, and he's very talented. And then Sheldon Adcock, a senior, has been in the mix as well, and Sheldon's done a good job. He's going to play varsity tonight. So all those kids are working hard. They're making improvements in areas that they have some weaknesses. And, you know, we're just making the slow climb, and we want to just continue to get better and peak here in the next couple of weeks as we go to conference and postseason.
Yeah, you had a busy week this week with three straight matches, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday on the road. That doesn't happen very often.
Not often. We're road warriors this week, and we're going to go to finish up tonight with a conference match against UT. And so far this week, we've had a couple of good matches, and we want to finish it off in a big way here tonight. And then we've got always the very tough Pekin Invitational at Lick Creek, which is just full of disasters everywhere.
Just the course itself.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And we're coming back as defending champions there. And to win that tournament at that place with that field is just a significant accomplishment. So we're trying to just get better and see where we are as we go over there. One of the things we talk about is if our kids can find a way to minimize damage control, and make bogey or less, then we got a chance. It's when you get those big numbers, and Lick Creek certainly challenges us with the big number possibilities.
Yeah, in fact, I remember reading, I've never played Lick Creek, but they said one of the holes there in particular is one of the toughest in the state. So it's definitely got a reputation.
They have a name for three of them there, their triangle there, that there's just booby traps everywhere, and a lot of young golfer skeletons are buried there in that triangle.
All right. So who's the teams that are – I've seen some pretty impressive scores. Is it Morton and some other clubs over there?
Yeah, Morton's the defending state champion, and their young player who's a sophomore now who just committed to the University of Illinois the day before yesterday, and his brother to Wisconsin. They're the favorites, not only in the region but in the state again. Metamora's been very, very good. Peoria, Notre Dame. You know, we lost on the fifth man to Notre Dame earlier this season. The Peoria area has a number of good clubs. The Quad Cities, Moline is always good. Rock Island Alleman has been very, very good this year. And again, Quincy's always a load. So Monmouth has had a good season as well. They'll be a class below us. Macomb has been very good. We were fortunate to beat them here at home last week, and they'll host the regional. So as usual, there's a lot of depth with a lot of good quality clubs.
You mentioned Alleman. I think they were the other ones that you went to that fifth man.
Yeah.
Right? Unusual to have, two in a couple of weeks.
I think in my 14, 15 years of coaching high school golf that I can only think of two or three times in that span where we went to the fifth man, and we went to it in basically our first couple of matches of the year. That's as close as it gets.
Yeah. Well, I suppose when you address the team about those things too, it's so important for even if a golfer is, you know, maybe he's thinking, well, I'm not going to be in the scoring today, but you never know. So don't let up or give it in on the last hole, because that stroke could come in pretty handy.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Jim. I say that so much that I wake up saying that in my sleep, that every shot counts. It's like anything in life, and that's why golf's a great metaphor for life. You're taking on adversity in a big way. You can ride the waves of success, but every little thing counts, and every score counts. And you certainly can see that from those two matches.
Mm-hmm. What's the biggest thing this group needs to improve on as you head into the second half of the season here?
You know, all those little things that we've worked on them with, especially, you know, if I were going to, you know, make it nice and tight in a small way, it would certainly be their short games. Right now, we do throw away a lot of strokes around the green, whether it be with our pitching and chipping or whether it would be lag putts to where we three putt to the 3 and 4 footers, that if you can make that keeps your round going and certainly shaves strokes off your game. And those little things, and we're making progress. I just want to see more of it. And if we continue to do that, and we're working, you know, our fannies off and with all kinds of things with that, I think that we can really surprise some people.
Would you say this team is nervous at all? I just wonder, because of the two guys that graduated that really carried the day for a couple of years for this team, have they felt a pressure without those guys there to step up their game?
You know, I don't think so. What we try to frame that is in a way that, you know, we have this great tradition. Galesburg High School golf has been to state more than any other boys team and won 2 state championships and 9 trophies more than all the others. We want that to work for us. We don't want that to be something that's a pressure or a burden. We want that to work for us. So if we have those high expectations and put them in a position to be successful and use it in a, with a positive spin, then we think it works for us. So we do everything we can not to, to make that a pressure situation. And I think our guys are responding to where it's not a pressure. They want to join that and write their chapter of great Silver Streak boys golf.
From the coaching standpoint, are you kind of year to year right now, or what do you foresee in the future?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I love coaching. I love teaching. You know, the labor of love that I had with Legion Baseball, it was time to move on from that, and I'm still doing this. I mean, this is my 38th year of doing it, and I love it as much as I ever have. But there are other things in my life that I want to do too, and enjoy those, and certainly hopefully make some kind of contribution in those areas. So, you know, you take this a year at a time and a sport at a time, and, you know, you go from there, and grateful that I get to do this and love doing it.
Does Dean Betts ever come nosing around anymore since he coached the team there for a little while?
I see Dean all the time. He and I were teammates going way back and classmates, and it's always great to see him. And whenever we get together, we're comparing notes about basketball or golf or whatever. So, yeah, when I get to see Dean, it's always fun and always a bonus.
And then looking to the under levels, I see the Aiton boys are golfing it up pretty well already, so the cupboard's not going to be bare whenever that time comes to leave, I guess.
Yeah, and those kids are good-looking players, and we have a number of others. I think golf in general right now is suffering a little bit from numbers for a variety of reasons, and we want to do everything we can to promote it. I think that our three golf courses here, our city does a great job with promoting junior golf, and it's something we want to continue to work with. For all kinds of reasons. But, there's more coming in the pipeline, and it's something we've got to continue to make a priority to keep kids playing golf. It's a wonderful sport with lots of wonderful byproducts to it.
I might blame the video golf industry, but I'm actually worse on that than I am on the real course, so that must not be the culprit.
Yeah, I've not tried that, and I'm sure that I would probably throw my machine, so I'm glad I stay away from that.
All right. Steve, we're just about out of time. It's halftime of Silver Streaks football. Thanks, and don't get to talk to you enough. I'm sure maybe when basketball season comes, we'll get that done too.
I enjoy talking to you immensely, Jim. Thank you for having me, and it's always a pleasure.
All right. Steve Cheeseman, head coach of the Galesburg Silver Streaks boys golf team here at halftime. We'll be back with more from Van Dyke Field after this on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Silver Streaks football on WGIL brought to you by Dickerson's Photography. Timeless images for you and your family. Office specialists providing solutions for your business. And by Dennis Twitty State Farm, helping you manage the risks of everyday life, recovery from the unexpected, and realize your dreams. Your home for Silver Streaks football, WGIL.
And I feel the location. Galesburg and Moline tied at 7 as we resume the homecoming game that got started last night. A couple of other games going on. As I was reading this morning, there were 106 football postponements from last night. 106. Nothing in the Western Big Six got completed. Rock Island and Quincy are going to get started at 2 o'clock. And United Township has now fallen behind to Alleman early in the third quarter. Alleman's opened up a 27-6 lead. Let's go down to the track. Jim Lee's got some more company down there, Jim.
All right. Thanks, Brad. Down here on the track with the Galesburg High School, what's left of the cheerleading squad on this homecoming, Jensen Wren, you were the only one out here to start. Were you kind of lonely?
Yeah, a little.
So what were everybody else just getting ready for homecoming today?
Yeah, the dance is tonight, so everybody has to get their hair done and just get ready for that.
You're the queen. You know, you should be above having to do this, right?
No, this is what I like to be doing.
No, that's a great spirit, a great attitude. Who else we got down here?
Hannah.
Okay, Hannah. You were the first one to come and say, "Hey, she looks kind of lonely down there."
Yeah.
Good for you to come out and help her out. And are you usually a cheerleader?
Yeah.
So how you're getting ready for homecoming tonight, too? Then a lot to do, or are you pretty well ready?
I'm pretty well ready, I think.
Good to see you down here. Well, you can't leave. Sarah, what's your last name?
Clayton.
Hey, Clayton. Nice to see you, Sarah. And you be out here for the rest of the afternoon?
I have a hair appointment at 2, but I came as long as I could.
Yeah, and you know, that's on homecoming, you can't just reschedule those things, I suppose, so you have to take care of those, too, huh?
Yeah.
Sarah, cheer them on to a win. Are they going to win?
Yes.
Good answer. Thanks, sir.
No problem.
All right, Jim. Thanks very much. Hannah Tucker, the other young lady down there joining Jensen and Sarah. Good to see them out here. And Jensen probably no more appreciative than anyone to have the other two down there, as Jensen was the only one out here for a while before Hannah joined her and then Sarah came here right about halftime. All right, the kickoff underway as the Silver Streaks kick deep to Moline, taken at the 13-yard line by Darvian Ali, who returns it across the 25 to about the 28-yard line, which is where Moline will start off the second half. Again, Moline and the Silver Streaks tied at 7 with this game resuming. Anawan Weathersfield has taken a 7-0 lead over Stark County through the first quarter in that game. We'll run through some other scores from last night. Kind of surprising to see the number of games that were played, but again, a number of them did get started early last night in anticipation of the bad weather that was heading our direction.
Well, you get the feeling that Anawan and Stark County may be playing another Saturday afternoon come November, don't you?
Sure do. And that's why so many people watching that one so closely. We got a little bit of a delay. I think they have to get a new football out there. All right, we're ready. First down from the 29-yard line for Moline, which comes out of the wishbone and goes into I formation, and the handoff goes to the fullback straight up the middle, and that was just pretty much a single-handed effort by Tyler Womack, who just blasted straight up the middle, and the Streaks couldn't stop him until he went 9 yards.
I'll leave it up to Mike Tracy to throw a new wrinkle in there at us. You remember when he was coaching United Township, and they came in here, and they hadn't won a game.
Uh-huh.
But they had a great big fullback, and he rode that guy into an upset at Van Dyke Field. It was an impressive coaching job.
In fact, it was at the night that they got off to just a rip-roaring start.
Yes.
It was like 21-0, and we got a fumble. We've got a fumble, and the Streaks are celebrating. Galesburg says that the Streaks have recovered. The black jerseys are dancing.
Yep,
the officials are unpiling,
confirmed.
And there it is.
Yeah, that was late in that play.
Sure was.
And there were so many bodies around, it was impossible to see the ball that came out. It just was in the middle of the scrum, and somehow it squirted out there, and Galesburg got on top of it.
Well, we talked about it last night, haven't brought it up yet here today, but Moline's turnovers have been a key part of Silver Streak's victories in each of the last 3 years. There's their first of this game, and Galesburg has it in maroon territory at the 41-yard line. Not a whole lot different field for position from where Moline got it back after the Galesburg fumble in the first half. Well, the defense responds well. Morin goes up the middle, is lucky to get a yard to the 40 as he's wrapped up and struggles to get even that 3 feet.
Well, that Moline defensive front is doing a great job. That time was Jalen Davis, a 6'1", 250-pound junior on the line that had some help, but he was the main tackler that time. And at the line of scrimmage, this is really a dead heat for these teams at this point.
Morin, 10 carries on 45 yards in the first half to Myler, who was the leading gainer on the ground for the Silver Streaks, but he doesn't do any better than Morin did on the last carry. Myler up the middle for a yard. Nick carried it 15 times for 57 yards in the first half. It's 3rd and 8 for the Silver Streaks, who prior to the last play of the first half, when Galesburg faced 3rd and 9, had not faced anything over 3rd and 4 in this game. But 3rd and 9 just before halftime, and 3rd and 8 here as we are just underway in the third quarter of a 7-7 game. Now the Streaks move some people around, and that's going to force Galesburg into a timeout.
Yeah, we
were
never
shifting around.
Yeah, because I don't know, the Caleb didn't know just where he was supposed to be. He came from the left to the right, and then Nick Myler moved, and then after one of the linemen looked over, then finally the coaches on the side just said timeout. They saw a bad play coming up here on 3rd and 9. They hate to waste the timeout, too, but
right.
They just felt like they had to.
Well, and considering the 2 timeouts that they had to use on the opening drive last night, which ended up in a Silver Streaks score, you know, you can't help but feel that maybe Tim Doherty's not going to take any chances. Having lost 2 games by a total of 5 points, a third straight postseason appearance may be entirely dependent on winning 4 games, if not the conference. Because the last game of the season, at this juncture, the Streaks would look like heavy, heavy underdogs. A team out of Michigan walloped the team that they played last night. I think it was 57-0. Ross to pass on 3rd down. It's a short pass into the flat to Myler, who's run out of bounds at the 29-yard line, but he's 4 yards short of the 1st down.
Well, yeah, because what we understood in some of the reading on that team for Michigan, Tom Meredith was looking some things up there just a few weeks ago when the season started and said, what's the deal? Well, really, there was an article that said nobody up there wanted to play him. that's bad.
Yeah.
When you're up in that area between Ann Arbor and Detroit, and there's a lot of football talent up there, and nobody wants to play you, that's... And you know Rock Island with Vic Boblett ran into that problem
yep.
years ago. They had to go play some team with Wisconsin because nobody around here wanted to play him.
I think they played a Michigan team one year,
okay.
too. All right, Streaks are going to go for it on 4th and 4. Myler fighting everything he can to battle to the 31-yard line, and he rolls off the last defender to get close, but I don't know if it's close enough. If he gets this first down, that was a single individual
nope.
effort that did it.
I don't think so.
The referee is looking.
No.
The Silver Streaks,
no.
of course, you know, they see it their way. They're trying to point the ball a different direction.
No.
They're not even going to measure.
Yeah, because the nose of the ball was on the other side of the mark. You had to get beyond that mark closer to the 30 to get the first down, so that was a pretty easy call even going across the field.
Streaks give it up on downs. Both teams cannot convert a first down on their first possessions. Here in the third quarter.
Tim Doherty's requesting a measurement, and then they called the chains, and then he looked over to the Moline side. They yelled something, and they decided not to call. So I'm not sure. I mean, it really was visually evident that we didn't make the first down. I'm not real sure why Gelsberg was asking for it.
Yeah, he can ask for it, but they don't have to grant it, is my understanding. And I'm not an expert on football rules by any stretch of the imagination. Tim's upset that they wouldn't have at least try it. So first down for Moline from the Maroon 32-yard line, just under 10 minutes to go here in the third quarter. Handoff up the middle. Moline ran two plays on their first drive of the second half, fumbled the ball, gave it back to the Silver Streaks. Streaks could not capitalize. And a gain for Womack up to the 35, picks up four. It'll be second and six. Sorry, picks up three.
Absolutely beautiful day, as we were talking off the air, that we thought we'd probably at least be in jeans and maybe a light jacket out here on a cooler day. But with that sunshine, it's a lot of people out here in shorts yet this afternoon.
Second down and long. Pitch to the backside. Trying to bounce to the outside is Quayshawn Wilson. A flag goes down. Another flag goes down. Different spots as Wilson runs it all the way to the 50. Crosses into Gelsberg territory. Gets knocked out of bounds short of the 49-yard line.
Coming back, though.
And are we going to have separate penalties? Well, a hold on Moline and a face mask on the Silver Streaks. When that second flag came flying in, I had a strong feeling that was a different penalty. So they're just going to replay the down. Well, that's unfortunate for the Streaks, because that would have taken them back 10 yards, obviously. Instead, it'll just be second and seven again, short of the 35.
Yep, but it does negate a pretty good size gain for Moline,
sure does.
Too.
Well, Mid-County had a pretty good lead on Mercer County last night. Mercer County came back and won, 24-21,
ooh,
if I'm reading this right.
It's too bad. We were up at Mid-County for the FM 95 Hometown Heroes a couple of weeks ago, and they had got off to a 2-0 start, but then they ran into Stark County, which was no surprise.
That'll end a lot of people's undefeated seasons.
Yeah, so kind of hoping maybe they get back in the win column. Now, Mercer County, I know they had had some disciplinary issues. Their quarterback, last week could not play because of an athletic code violation. I think they had several key players, from what I'm told. They got beat in that game, and whether they were able to bring him or them back, I don't know. But from what I had heard, my thought was these guys would probably be out for a while. So we'll have to find out how that all transpired.
Well, it was pretty late in the third quarter when that game got postponed last night. Mid-County was up 21-8. So for Mercer County to come back and win that one 24-21 and playing just over a full quarter, that's a testament to their ability to hang in there. Well, it's not offsetting penalties. By the time the officials sort this all out and give an explanation to both sidelines, they walk off the 10 yards against Moline. Then they walk off the 15 yards against Gelsberg because of the nature of the face mask. They're calling it a personal foul, and now Tim Doherty's getting an explanation from the head referee, probably asking why those just aren't offsetting penalties, I'm guessing. So it goes penalty yardage against both. Jim, you're trying to sneak in there and get an ear on what's going on.
Yeah, it was. I didn't get it. It was a short discussion, but Coach Doherty was satisfied when the official came over and told him that. He just nodded and said, all right.
That was my question, was the nature of how he felt after the explanation. All right, so that makes it, instead of second and seven, it'll be second and two up to the 40. Handoff goes to the outside. Not a lot there. Somebody got him from behind, but still enough for the first down. As
like
they change
DeAndre
it up
Moore
again by Wilson.
Moore in the first one there. Cervantes helped out. And Velasquez also there for the Silver Streaks. But a Moline first down.
Mm-hmm. So they're going to spot it right at the 42-yard line. Wilson's first carry of the second half. He's got six carries for 20 yards in the game. If you were tuning in today expecting to hear something other than Silver Streaks football, we'll update you on what you might have been expecting here after this play, which is a simple dive play up the middle for a short gain, and not a whole lot there for Tyler Womack. It'll be second and nine. If you were thinking you were going to hear Illinois, I don't think we ever told anyone you were going to hear Illinois today, but
they are playing.
They are playing. They were playing. They got started a little earlier than the Cubs-Cardinals game, Fighting Illini down 27-7 early in the fourth quarter. And North Carolina has second and goal inside the Illini 5. Cubs have opened up a 4-1 lead on the Cardinals now as they go to the bottom of the fifth. Second and nine from the 43-yard line. Handoff goes to the outside, and a good job by the Silver Streak. Shaquan Davis couldn't get there. Nick Myler into the backfield with a good open field tackle before Davis could cut the corner. And they're going to spot it pretty much right at the line of scrimmage as a little dive forward helped him not lose any yardage.
I'm probably to blame for Illinois' struggles because the first 2 weeks I didn't believe and I took the point spread with their opponents and that didn't work out very well for me. So this week I took Illinois because they were, I don't know, like 10.5-point underdogs or 13 at North Carolina. I thought, well, they're playing well. They'll hang in there. Nope. Maybe quarterback Wes Lunt will rally him back.
Now flags is... Somebody dropped a towel. Referees barking at Moline players. And whose is this? I think it was Fernando Diaz for the Silver Streaks who came over and said, it's not mine. It's one of theirs. Now the officials are talking it over amongst each other. Or was that directed at the Moline players? I mean, the guys in black and white are really talking quite a bit to the Moline players here.
Yeah, the bigger official on the backside here is lecturing them pretty well about that. Waved it off. Okay, now let's play.
All right, out of the wing T formation. Handoff up the middle, trying to move the pile forward, and that'll be close to a first down. Moline advances it across midfield on a good, strong effort by Tyler Womack. Actually, they're going to say the knee was down right at the 50, so the Silver Streaks get a little benefit of the call there instead of being a yard or less. It'll be fourth and a good two.
Can you remember the last time you've seen a game like this, Brad? I mean, each team has tried to run wide a time or two. Moline threw one pass, but otherwise everything is just between the hash marks, just grinded out football against each other, and nobody's really doing much.
Moline will go for it, at least line up to go for it on fourth down. They've already drawn the Silver Streaks off once, and there's a flag, several flags, just as the play gets underway. Galesburg crowd applauding, and there is a false start. So after drawing the Silver Streaks off on a fourth down earlier that gave Moline a new set of downs, they end up causing the penalty this time. And they'll move it back to fourth and seven, and Mike Tracy sends out the punt unit. So that takes them back to their own 45. So still tied at seven, just over 7 minutes to go here in the third quarter of the resumed game. And the snap right into the midsection. The punt is low. Streaks had pursuit, but he did get it away cleanly, and the ball rolls down inside the 30 and down there by the Maroons at the 27-yard line. Streaks take over, 6:59 to go, third quarter.
Yeah, he underkicked the coverage for sure that time. In fact, the lead man down there had to turn around and go back to down the football. But like you said, they got more mileage out of it than they could have.
Uh-huh.
The ball hit and took probably got an extra 10 or 12 yards just on the roll there.
Goes with a net of 27. And the Silver Streaks will have it at their 27-yard line. Trying to get something going. Streaks were not able to convert on third down and get a new set of downs on their first possession here in the second half. Let's see what they can do as they open up the field. Single setback, and they go to Morin despite four wideouts lined up, and DeAndre gets nothing. In fact, probably lost a yard on first down.
Yeah, he got tossed around by a couple of guys there. Dalton Dodd again. I don't show a number for the other one, but Dodd the main guy, and we've already called his number three or four times here in the short time we've been playing this afternoon.
So second and a long 10 here. Streaks with three wideouts to the left. They go to Morin again up the middle. Little bit of a hole, but that closes quickly as he dives forward to the 30. Quishon Wilson came over and made the stop. Gain of three for DeAndre. It'll be third and eight.
Yeah, Wilson really put a shot on him there, too. The Moline players were whooping it up after that one. You love a big hit if you're out there on defense, and Wilson put one on us there, and quickly it's third down.
This game's been all about defense, hasn't it? Outside of the Silver Streaks on that 16-play scoring drive that opened the game, and they were moving the ball on their second possession before they turned it over and just haven't done much offensively since. Back to pass on third and eight. Across the middle, Ross. A one-handed catch by Caleb Clay, and he takes it to the Moline 40. What a grab! Well, that'll bring some life into this place.
We needed something like that, something to open things up and get a little energy here. And a well-thrown ball by Ross and a heck of a catch by Clay.
31-yarder takes it down to the Moline 39-yard line, just past the midpoint of the third quarter. Jacob Ross, 5-for-5 passing in this game for 59 yards. Two wideouts to the left, one to the right. Up the middle, Morin, and he is stuffed. Absolutely nowhere to run. Into the backfield immediately was Noah Bollinger, and that's a loss of two.
Bollinger, a number of those seniors that Mike Tracy talked about, 6'2", 210-pound senior. And this is, you know, it's more of a junior-dominated Galesburg team against a senior-dominated Moline team right now. But this junior class for Galesburg has had a lot of success. And so they've been bringing that up with them through the ranks and hoping to overcome the disparity of a year here and win this game.
Out of the I formation, traditional set, fake handoff, back to pass, middle again, wide open. Carl dives for it and can't come up with it inside the 15-yard line. Ross led him just a little bit too much on the cross pattern downfield. Jacob was wide open, and he laid out on the field and just couldn't come up with it.
Yeah, if he drops that in his arms, that's probably a touchdown, and he dove out there, used all that height that he has, stretched out, got his hands on it, but would have been awfully difficult to bring that in, and I'm sure Jacob Ross would love to have that toss back. And as open as our receivers have been these last two pass plays, I think you've got to consider going back to that.
Both times, just right up the middle. That's the first incompletion of the game for Jacob Ross. In the shotgun, back, dropping back on the screen pass, finds Carl open at the 40. Up the near sideline to the 30. First down to the 20. Dragged out of bounds at the 10-yard line. They went up the middle twice. This time to the sideline on the perfectly executed screen, and the Streaks have a first down at the 13.
Yeah, that really was executed well, because not only does he catch the ball with a little room, he's got two blockers in front of him. Gibru and Fredrickson were both out there pulling to the right. They really didn't even find anybody to block. They were ready to set up a wall, but by that time, we'd gone by him. So a lot of options on that, and the Streaks on the move now at the 13.
Streaks have opened up the passing game. That was a monstrous third down conversion for the Silver Streaks. And they've had two big ones now on this drive. This one sets up a first down from just inside the 13-yard line of a tie ball game, 4:54 to go third quarter. Handoff up the middle to Myler, who covers up that ball, gets the helmet down, the shoulders into a couple of defenders, takes it inside the 10 to the 9-yard line for a gain of four. Well, you talked about it, Jim. The Silver Streaks and Moline both have been playing this game very close to the vest. And now on this drive, the Silver Streaks have started to open it up with a couple of lengthy pass plays and another one that was wide open. And now they got a second down inside the 10 out of the I formation. Myler again up the middle. Charges into the line, pushes the pile to the 5-yard line, picks up four more. It'll be third and two.
Yeah, I figured the yardage would get a little tougher here now because you don't have as much field to work with. if you're going to throw the ball.
I don't mind third and two, though.
No. You figure two down territory here unless you go backwards on this play. No penalties. That's what's hurt us so often.
Yep.
Let's just keep from backing up here.
Silver Streaks, 6 for 11 on third downs in this game. They go to Morin this time, bounces off a man, gets inside the 5 to the 4-yard line.
That was a lot of work. He got hit a yard behind the line of scrimmage and was able to at least scoot forward to get a yard. But now
he's a little slow to get up and limping. The way he took the initial hit, I thought his head kind of bounced back like he took a pretty good shot, but he ends up coming up favoring something on the left side, ankle, knee, something about his leg. He's going to split out wide to the left, hobbling, staying on the field on 4th and 1. And now a timeout. Yes, so the Streaks have used a second timeout with 3:11 to go in the third quarter. Tied at 7. And again, Tim Doherty not wasting those timeouts. He used two of them on the opening drive last night, which was a long drive that resulted in a touchdown. And he wants to make sure, darn sure, especially on 4th and 1 inside the Moline 5, that they know exactly what they are doing down here.
Yeah, because you might say, oh, you'll need that timeout at the end of the game. Well, this may have a direct bearing on what's going on at the end of the game.
Right.
If you try and rush this play and don't have everybody on the same page and blow your fourth down opportunity inside the 5, you got to get the score here. You can let the end of the game worry about itself when it comes. But right now, this is the most important play of the game for Galesburg. Tie game, 3:11 to go in the third quarter, and a great opportunity to score.
Other than the scoring drive, the Silver Streaks have not been anywhere near this position in this game. So the only time they got down here, they scored. Otherwise, they haven't moved the ball inside. Well, I guess they got the fumble recovery. They got it down to the Moline 34. That's as close as they've come to scoring in this game since the opening possession. All right, Morin coming out of the timeout is going to stay in the game. He gimps out wide to the left along with Caleb Clay. Running the play in from the sideline, Tyree Mitchell. He's going to line up as the far wide receiver, joining Clay and Morin on the left. Carl in as a tight end lined up left with Myler, the single setback behind Ross under center. Goes to Myler. He's got the first down. Still on his feet. Dragged down at the 2-yard line. And a monster fourth down conversion for the Streaks. They're 3 of 4 on fourth down conversions in this game. And now have first and goal at the 2.
Myler knew those would be tough yards. The minute he got it, he had lowered the shoulder pads at an angle trying to slice in there. And it was Dodd, their linebacker, again. It was the first guy to meet him, and really impressed with Dodd, not only his tackling, but he had the presence of mind while he's tackling him. He's trying to rip that ball out of there, too, from Nick. Nick had it secured, though. Here we go, first and goal.
3:05 and counting in the game. They go to Myler again. Bounces left, nowhere to go. Might have gotten inside the 2, but that would be it at the most. 20th carry of the game for Nick Myler already. DeAndre Morin's been the guy through the first 3 games. It's been Myler here today, 20 carries, 68 yards, and all of them hard-earned. DeAndre Morin, meanwhile, 15 carries for 47 yards, but in the second half, only 5 for 2. Second and goal for the Streaks here, just outside the 2. Traditional I formation. Myler the up man, Morin the tailback, trying to get to the outside, and he never could get going. And Moline tracks him down, trying to get to the outside. And the linebacker, Laji Diallo, comes in and makes the stop. And the Streaks have third and goal now.
Yeah, Diallo had him low. And then I really thought maybe DeAndre would be able to break free of him. But Darby and Ali came over and just erased him from the high side and prevented any second effort. So here we are, third, and now the ball almost back to the 3.
I think it's hard running for DeAndre right now. I don't know what exactly he's dealing with that leg, but he doesn't look like he's going to be capable of shaking anybody free out of the grasp right now. Third and goal from the 3. They go to Myler. Gets down low. Cuts toward the middle. Stopped at the 1. And pushed back. And it'll be 4th and goal for the Streaks.
Boy, the yard hard to come by right now. Wow.
It'll be at the Moline 1-yard line. Silver Streaks 2 for 5 on third down conversions in this half. 6 for 13 in the game, but 3 for 4 on fourth downs, and that's what they're facing here. Mitchell comes out, Jacob Carl in for the Silver Streaks.
When you got the two big targets in Carl and Juan, 6-5 apiece. Do you drop one of those guys toward the back of the end zone and see if you can't? I don't. Well, look at that ball, though. That ball is almost to the goal line.
Yeah, the nose is wild right there.
Yeah, and for as tough as Moline's defense is inside, if we had 2 yards to go, I would throw it. I'm not sure you get that too, but with the ball right there, you just really can't hardly afford to throw that pass. Maybe in the NFL, but not at the high school level. I think you've got to find a way to grind that thing an extra. I mean, you're looking at an inch.
You think Pete Carroll would argue that you might throw the ball at this?
Yeah. I think Pete might hand it off too after last year.
Oh, so with 1:10 to go in the third quarter and fourth and, I don't know, 3 inches maybe?
I don't think it's even that. I would say if you're just talking nose of the ball, the goal line, an inch.
And with the offensive line really being touted as the strength, both literal and true strength of this team, surely you put it in their hands and say, come on, guys, give us that.
Maybe Ross on the keeper.
Maybe. All right, they're packed in tight. Two tight end set. Myler the single setback. Ross comes up under center. The snap, he tries to keep it still on his feet, and the extra effort gets in. He comes up over the top, and he gets the ball over the plane. And even those couple of inches, if that, were tremendously hard to come by, but the streaks find a way to get it across the plane.
And he barely got it, but I thought he broke the plane initially as he went up high. And then they didn't make the signal, and he was trying on a second effort. I wasn't as sure as he got in then, but then I think the official, I'm right here on the line, I thought he made the right call, but he just barely broke that plane when he first had the wave.
A 14-play scoring drive for the Silver Streaks to go along with a 16-play scoring drive to open the game. Good snap, good hold, good kick. Streaks lead 14-7, minute 6 to go, third quarter. You're listening to Galesburg High School Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Silver Streaks Football on WGIL is brought to you by Two Painted Ladies, offering upcycled furniture and unique handcrafted gifts. By Animal Medical Center, providing the finest veterinary care possible. And by Arby's on North Henderson Street in Galesburg, your home for Silver Streaks Football, WGIL.
Looking to spruce up your kitchen? Maybe add a decorative countertop or some new cabinets? Give Courtright Construction a call for a free estimate. They can create a one-of-a-kind countertop that has the look of real stone for a fraction of the price. Learn more at CourtrightConstruction.com. The right choice for your next project. Courtright Construction of Oneida.
Congratulations to Josh Scholl. He was a first week's winner in the Pro Football Pick'em. He won a $50 gift certificate to Cherry Street Restaurant and Bar. You could be a winner as well. Get signed up at WGIL.com.
14-7 Silver Streaks, a 14-play scoring drive. Galesburg covers 73 yards in 5 minutes, 53 seconds. Jacob Ross with the 1-yard touchdown quarterback sneak. The point after by Joe Anderson makes it 14-7. United Township loses to Alleman as the Pioneers really open things up in the second half, 34-14, as the Pioneers go on to the expected victory.
Steve Davis just walked by. Register Mail has his Cardinal cap turned around. I said, I'd wear my hat backwards, too, if I were you.
Oh. Cubs lead right now 4-1 going to the bottom of the sixth. And the kickoff by Anderson. High, into the wind, and it backs up Womack inside the five. Running to the far side of the field toward the Moline side, crosses the 25 and stopped at about the 27-yard line with exactly a minute showing here on the third quarter clock. They're going to spot it where? Yep, right at the 27. Well, that's where the Silver Streaks drive that resulted in points just started. 14 plays ago, Moline hoping for the same result here, starting from the same yard line opposite end.
As we said, Moline's only score came when we fumbled last night and gave them a short field to work with. And they've got a long way to go here, 70-plus yards if they want to tie this up.
Hand off up the middle. Good surge by the offensive line. Pushes across the 30 to the 33-yard line. Pick up a 5 on first down. As the line really took control of that one in the first carry of the game by Raquan Leviston. Sophomores lost last night. First time they got to play prior to the varsity game this season. Second down and four here for the Maroons. Out of the wishbone, handoff up the middle just to the left side of center. And enough for Shaquan Davis to move the chains. He picks up six more. So back-to-back six-yard carries.
Tyree Mitchell with a tackle for Galesburg, but he made it from the backside. And on running plays, when you're tackling from the backside, your lead tackler, you're probably giving up some yards there. So get the stop, but they get the first down. And be interesting, you know, Galesburg opened it up, threw the ball, and that was the reason we scored. Make no mistake about it, because we're not running it much.
Nope.
But those passing plays got us down the field. Will Moline try and do that if they continue to struggle running the ball? As I think we're going to end the third quarter before the next play.
We sure are. Moline doesn't even act like they want to go toward the line of scrimmage to get set. And the helmets and the hands in the air for the Silver Streaks as that ends the third quarter. Galesburg gets a score in the second half, now leads 14-7 as we go to the fourth quarter here on Homecoming Saturday at Van Dyke Field. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Galesburg Nissan's bottom line sales event is going on now. 0% financing for 72 months plus rebates on all 2015 Sentras and the best-selling Nissan Altima. 0% financing is also available on our exciting lineup of SUVs featuring the fuel-efficient Rogue, the luxurious Murano, and the 7-passenger Pathfinder. With over 100 new Nissans in stock and more arriving every day, the selection has never been greater. Bottom line sales event going on now at Galesburg Nissan, where you just can't buy a Nissan for less.
With the Yum Ford Pro Football Pick'em, there's a weekly winner as well as a grand prize of $500 and more. Pick your teams now at WGIL.com.
When we talk about time of possession and how much the Streaks have been able to run the ball on their two scoring drives, Moline had the ball 4 minutes and 41 seconds of the second half. It's a pass play. There you go, Jim. They go to the air, and the completion is made to Shaquan Davis. Rolled out of bounds on the Galesburg sideline, short of the first down marker at the 50. They're actually going to spot him out of bounds at the 46.5 for a pickup of six, his second pass reception of the day.
Yeah, I don't expect to see Air Moline, but when you just can't run it, I mean, both teams, you've got to try something else to loosen things up. And you're going to do it safely. You don't want to throw an interception. But if you can get some short passes, and then at least you can open up the field a little bit for the guy with the ball to do something.
Noah Mosier, the quarterback, lines up in front of the wishbone. Handoff goes to Shaquan Davis again. Tries to bully his way forward to the first down marker. He'll be a yard and a half short. They're going to spot it between the 48 and the 49-yard line. Actually, they're going to spot it across the 49. It's going to be third and very short here. So he picks up three hard-earned yards on the ground there. And it'll be third and one. Moline has faced third down in the second half only once so far. Only once in that third quarter, again, because the Streaks had so much time of possession. We are just underway here in the fourth quarter with under 11.5 minutes to play in the game. From the Moline 49-yard line on third and less than a yard. Mosier under center, takes a snap, handoff left. Streaks try to rip the ball out of the hands of Wilson as he goes up the middle. That was after he already had enough for the first down, and he picks up three more, almost to the 46-yard line of the Streaks. And a big third down conversion for Moline, trailing by a touchdown here with a 14-7 Galesburg lead.
And the Maroons have been able to get some first downs, but it's mostly out here on either side of midfield.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't string too many together. They've got the wind at their back here for the fourth quarter with just a minute gone in this fourth period.
Split back formation with the wing to the left side. The toss goes to Davis on the option.
Ooh,
and he gets hit at the 45-yard line when he thought he was going to be able to feel his way through a hole and find an opening there in linebacker territory. The Streaks surrounded him and made a pretty quick stop there after a gain of two.
Yeah, Castellano and Cervantes combined for the big hit there. Silver Streak sideline like that one.
Ends up as a gain of two. Shaquan Davis now the leading rusher in the game for Moline. 9 carries, 45 yards. Womack has 31 on the ground. Wilson has 26. Now the Maroons line it up in the wing tee with a single setback to the right side is Spear. And up the middle and nothing, just nowhere to go as the Streaks defense swarmed on that play. Nowhere to go again for Leviston. So from the 44-yard line, inside, just inside the 45, it'll be 3rd and 8 for the Maroons. And how big for the Silver Streaks defense would this be? They just gave up a third down conversion. And very quickly, they put Moline at 3rd and deep, and that forces Mosier into a short drop. Here come the Streaks on the run. Play, I think, did he get held? No flag down, and a deflected pass off the fingertips of Davis at the 35-yard line. I was watching the blocking with Clay coming after Mosier. No flag down.
Yeah, they did keep the man in to block that prevented the sack. That was Tyler Womack. And I was afraid Clay was going to jump offsides because he was timing that.
Yeah, he sure was.
Just barely avoided the offsides. But the pass falls incomplete. Moline will have to punt again. But again, the wind at their back, if he gets this lofted up there, he should have a pretty good kick.
Quayshawn Wilson is the kicker, standing at his own 42. Good snap. Not much pressure. And gets it high up in the air. Myler backing up. Fair catches it at the 2-yard line.
He's rethinking that one, I'm
telling you. Should have let that one go.
He did not know. In fact, his heel was almost on the goal line.
The coverage was downfield. It was a pretty good, especially with that air under the ball like it was, and Trevor Cook was downfield. So I still like your chances of forcing Cook to make what would have been a really tough play. And Myler, usually pretty heads up when it comes to football IQ and knowing what to do, would like to have that one back.
Yeah. I said, the punter did a great job, got that up in the air, and that carried an extra 10 yards at least with a breeze. And I just think Nick kind of lost track of where he was at on the field.
So the drive starts from the Silver Streaks 2-yard line, and the yards have been so hard to come by on the ground, and the Streaks need to find some holes here, and Myler doesn't find one on the first play. He picks up a yard to the 3. Cubs have added a run, still batting in the bottom of the 6th, now up 5-1 on the Cardinals.
This was the game, I thought, because the Cubs were going with their bullpen formula, have like 3 guys throw 3 innings apiece if that worked out against Waka. And so far, that's even working for the Cubs.
And off to the right side, there's some room to run. Myler dives out to the 9-yard line. That gives the Streaks a chance anyway. And it'll be 3rd and 3 for the Silver Streaks. He got outside just enough, stayed between the tackles, but good effort by Nick. And a pickup of 6. He's got 23 carries in the game now for 77 yards. That's how hard it's been for the Silver Streaks on the ground in this game. 23 carries. Myler, the leading rusher, with 77 yards. Hand off to the right. Oh, he's got a hole again. Spins off a man and gets to the first down, close to the 15-yard line.
Yeah, right side of the offensive line got it done that time.
They haven't
been able to open much, but he was able to spin and find some rare air, some breathing room there to squirt up to the 15-yard line and a big first down and get us out of that hole that Moline put us into the punt.
As Jim indicated, Streaks are moving into the win here in this fourth quarter with a 14-7 lead, 8:15 to play. Now Ross drops back. The snap to him.
Oh, fumble.
And a miscommunication as he tries to hand off to Fernando Diaz. Okay. And Moline will take over deep in Galesburg territory at the 13.
Yeah, that one never did get exchanged.
Nope.
Ross just turned, and I'm not sure how that was supposed to happen, but he just never got grabbed, and it was on the ground in a hurry. And so were the Maroons in the white jerseys to pounce on it. Second time Galesburg has given Moline this opportunity after we've taken the lead in this ball game. The first time the Maroons cashed in, will they do it again?
That time they had it at the 32, and it took them 3 plays to score. The Galesburg defense needs to stiffen up in a major way here. Hand off to the right side. Trying to find the corner. Womack gets to the outside, wrapped up by Caleb Kay and thrown down at the 5. But he picks up 9. Actually, they're going to give him 8 to the 6. With just under 8 minutes to go in the game, it'll be 2nd and 2.
Last night we blamed the elements to some degree. The ball was going to be wet, even though the turf out here is always great. But the ball was slippery. That on that fumble, a goof.
Under center, Mosier. And off to the second man, they go right back to Wilson. Pounds forward to the goal line. Well, the official on the far side says yes.
Oh, yeah, he was clearly.
All right. I wasn't sure if the knee was down before it, so that puts Moline within one now.
Wilson really ran hard on that one, too.
He
was
did.
Not going to be denied. So they pounce on our mistake for the second time. And, you know, Mike Washburn was telling us, Tim Doherty told you, just got to eliminate mistakes. We've given them two first downs by penalty early in this half. Those didn't cost us, but that fumble absolutely did right there.
Both fumbles by the Silver Streaks.
Yeah, the one last night, too.
Yep. That was a fairly short field then. They just had to take it 32 yards that night. Here's a low line drive kick. Oh, it does get inside the right upright. I wasn't sure that it did, but apparently it did. So that ties the game at 14, 7:55 to play. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
We need to get all the new Malibus lined up for inventory.
Son, it's the middle of the night. What are you doing?
We need to upload pictures of the new used vehicles to the website.
Are you sleepwalking?
I can't sleep. I've got too much to do. I need a Carfax report on the new pre-owned.
Oh, okay, Parker.
And I want a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Back to bed, mister.
Been dreaming of a new Chevy from White Chevrolet? Stop in today and test drive a 2015 Silverado or shop their new and used inventory online anytime at whitechevrolet.com.
Chevrolet, find new roads.
Silver Streak Football on WGIL brought to you by attorney Tricia Blake at Blake Law Office in downtown.
News, talk, sports on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Galesburg 14, Moline 14, as we get ready to give the ball back to the Streaks with 7:55 to go in the game. Moline, a two-play scoring drive that covers 14 yards in just 10 seconds after the second Galesburg turnover. And that has given Moline tremendous field position both times for their only scores of the game. So we got a ball game here with just under 8 minutes to go and whistles as Moline might have been offsides on the kickoff. DeAndre Morin down deep, so despite the leg injury that hobbled him at the end of the Galesburg scoring drive in the third quarter, he stays on the field.
No penalty. They just kicked off before the whistle apparently gave them the okay to kick it. That was what I garnered down here when the official said, wait for the whistle.
Okay.
Number 62, offensive lineman Jacob Darst was on the table over here after the Moline score. The trainers were looking at his right knee, but I think they were convinced that he was all right. They made him get down his three-point stance, fire off that a few times, and I think basically he's saying, while it may not be the most comfortable, he's okay to go, and Jeremy Carrier and the rest of the doctors here signed off on that.
Hannah Tucker and Sarah Clayton have left. Jensen Wren is now the lone cheerleader again.
She's awesome.
Line drive kickoff taken on a bounce by Caleb Clay at the 13. Trying to get to the outside, gets to the 30-yard line and stopped there. Pretty good run back from Caleb from the far side of the field to the near side of the field before finally taken down by Laji Diallo. Streaks will have it at the 30. 7:48 to play in a tie ball game. 5-1 Cubs through six innings at Wrigley Field. Do I dare check on the Illini? North Carolina had goal-to-go situation with a 27-7 lead last time I checked.
I don't think it's a matter of if, but by how many for the Illini today.
No, they've added three touchdowns since then. It's now 48-7. All right, Silver Streaks in a tie ball game from their own 30. Looking for their first win at home this season. And handoff up the middle gains negative yardage. DeAndre was stopped before he could even get going as white jerseys were in the backfield. No gain on first down. And again, the Silver Streaks pass plays that helped lead to that scoring drive on their possession in the third quarter. They would have to do it into the wind here in the fourth quarter. DeAndre Morin, 7 carries for 1 yard here in the second half. Single setback is Morin. Ross rolling right, looking right, throws it into the flat, caught by Myler. First down across the 40 to the 41-yard line. Well-executed play, and the Streaks move the chains.
Really was well run. Myler did a nice job curling around and freeing up and running his route, and as soon as he put the hands out for the ball, Ross put it right on the money. The passing is what has saved us here in this second half, the only way we're really gaining much of any yardage, and comes through again.
Ross 7-for-8 passing for 98 yards. That's Myler's third reception for 28. In the shotgun, Ross with a handoff to Morin, trying to bounce to the outside to the 40 to the 45-yard line. Tripped up, taken down at the 46. Good gain on first down. They're going to spot him almost to the 47-yard line.
Good pursuit by the Moline defense. Clay out here trying to throw that lead block and maybe spring him around on the sideline, but the speed of Moline just wouldn't let that happen. Clay did get the block, but the defender stayed right with him and pushed the play out of bounds. A lot of teams you can, you know, go outside and then turn inside and make up some yardage, but Moline seems to have all the bases covered here against our run game this afternoon.
18th carry of the game for Morin. Only five of them have gone for 6 yards or more. Myler with a dive play up the middle to the 49. Gain of a couple more. That's going to bring up third and two.
Clock just spinning. It's like you're filling up at the gas station, only the other way, the way this clock is winding down in this game because the teams just keep it on the ground. 6.5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. This might be our last possession before a potential overtime.
Streak 7-for-14 on third downs in this game. Most of them have been short yardage like this one. Third and two from the 49. Fake handoff on the play action.
Ross rolling right.
He could have run with it. He passes to Carl, who makes the catch and taken down at the 35-yard line. You were thinking the same thing I was, Jim. Just get the first down. But he threw it. He actually had two open receivers there, and he dumped it right into the midsection of Carl for a gain of 16.
And we saw that last Saturday afternoon against Marion. He did the same thing. And it's, you know, it works out fine, but if the guy drops the ball, you're standing there thinking, oh, I could have walked 10 yards there. So he got away with it. Pass completion, streaks move the ball, and that's a good play for us, that rollout with Ross.
Good hands by the sophomore, Jacob Carl, his third catch of the day for 47 yards and a first down at the Moline 35. Hand off to Morin, trying to bounce to the outside to the line of scrimmage, 35-30. Inside the 30, wrapped up from behind, taken down for a gain of 8 on first down, and a good pickup. And suddenly the yards starting to open up a little bit for the Silver Streaks, and as much as the Streaks have won the time of possession here in this second half especially, they did it in the first half, but you kind of discount that because everybody had a chance to go home and rest. But last two carries, a gain of 6 and now 8 for DeAndre Morin. And maybe that Moline defense starting to get a little winded as much as they've been on the field here. 5.5 and counting here in the fourth quarter of a tie ball game. Ross comes up under center. Hand off right side. Myler with a big surge forward inside the 25 for another first down. Close to the 22-yard line and a hard run by Nick, and he took advantage of the hole that opened up quickly.
It's the kind of drive you wanted to see in response to the Moline score that tied the game up. Streaks working towards the clock with 5:27 to go in the fourth quarter and moving it with authority right now.
To the Moline 23-yard line, 90 yards on the ground for Nick Myler on 26 carries in this game. 5:15 and counting on a new set of downs for the Silver Streaks inside the Moline 25. Hand off right. Myler cuts back to the middle. Into the secondary. Drags down. Then a late flag as Myler's taken down at the 5-yard line. And I got to believe that one's against Moline. Nobody else was there. Might be a face mask added on to the end here as Myler has to be helped up at the end of the play. And he's high-fiving some players. And he's waving off a couple of people. Now comes over and kind of doubles over with his hands on his knees. So he took a shot of some sort there at the end. He's still, personal foul face mask. It wasn't an incidental face mask. Nick's waving everybody off. He's still doubled over with his hands on his knees, and he does not want to come out of this game. And who can blame him? The way the Silver Streaks are surging now with a first and goal at about the 2.5-yard line.
Tim Doherty yelling out there, Nick, and he's telling him he's all right, but, you know, Nick's one of those guys who could be on his deathbed and say, no, I'm fine, I'm going to stay in. So, he's going to line up. Streaks first and goal after the big Myler run and the penalty yardage for the face mask.
First and goal for the Silver Streaks from the 3. Hand off to Myler again. Bounces forward, hit at the goal line, but he crosses the plane, and the Streaks regain the lead. What a run, what an effort by Nick Myler. He even gets a standing ovation from some of the fans up here, Jim. They recognize what he did on that drive.
Yeah, and there's getting chippy down here too. As soon as the Silver Streak scored, as both Nick and DeAndre Morin were coming off together, one of the officials came over and said, "You guys keep your mouths shut." I think there's a lot of talking on both sides of the line in this heated game right now.
9 plays, 70 yards for the Silver Streaks. They take 2 minutes and 47 seconds off the clock. And now what? We got a flag down before the Streaks can go for the extra point.
I'm not sure we didn't just get an ejection here.
From Moline? He's the only player leaving. Yeah, I saw the referee point his finger up in the air. But yeah, I think you're right, Jim. I think he was actually kind of pointing to the sideline. Mike Tracy comes off the sideline, tries to get the referee's attention. I'm guessing probably to say, what did he do? What did he say?
Whatever it is, it was a quick ejection.
Sure was.
And
And maybe, as you said, Jim, I mean, if the referees and the officiating crew had just been down there telling everybody to keep it quiet, you turn right around and say something right after that, I can see where they might have said, that was it. I just said.
Okay, the penalty they're going to assess, personal foul, will be assessed on the kickoff.
Okay. Now, usually they put their arms out straight out when it's unsportsmanlike conduct. He did not do that. So does that mean there was some sort of physical contact there?
There couldn't have been. It was lining up for the extra point.
So here's the snap. Here's the kick. It's good. And the Silver Streaks now lead 21-14 with 5:01 to go in the game. Up to the defense now to hold the Maroons when we come back on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Trying to convey an idea to somebody else never results in the vision you had in your head. Take matters into your own hands. Let Breedlove Sporting Goods help you design your next t-shirt. Navigate to BreedloveSports.com, click on the t-shirt designer icon, and put your mad design skills to work. Start by picking your canvas, t-shirts, polos, hoodies, even drinkware, signs, and banners. From there, you can customize everything, color, artwork, text, numbers, even upload an image. You can be the designer with Breedlove Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee. Get started now at BreedloveSports.com.
You. Yeah, you. If you're hearing me right now and you've got job openings, just think of the thousands of prospective candidates that can hear me too. I'm sending you and them to Galesburg.info keyword jobs, talking to people at work, home, and play. That's the power of radio.
Hi, it's Tom Meredith. Coming up Monday morning, we'll talk with Aaron Olson from the Knox County Health Department. We'll talk about their drive-through flu clinic coming up. That'll be just after 7:10 on WGIL.
9 plays, 70 yards for the Silver Streaks. Their quickest scoring drive of the game takes them just 2 minutes and 47 seconds. And with a 15-yard personal foul penalty, the ball was sitting at the 45-yard line before the wind just blew it off the tee. And if there's any benefit to the Silver Streaks here by being able to take advantage of this yardage, it's the fact that they are kicking into the wind. So there's no guarantee still that there won't be a run back of some sort, but kicking into the wind from their own 40-yard line, Moline might have gotten a pretty good run back. Now the Streaks can really try to pin Moline deep. Anderson's kickoff is taken down the middle of the field, and the reception made at the 4-yard line by Darvion Ali, trying to get to the outside, and the swarming Galesburg special teams makes the stop close to the 20-yard line. I think it was Dalton Ramsey who made the initial stop. And the Maroons will have it at the 20. 4:55 to go in the game. Streaks now lead by a touchdown.
Coaching staff challenging the defense. They know this is one of those, they get a stop, pretty good chance you win a ball game here, yelling, who's going to be a playmaker? Who's going to make the play out here? Streaks offense, after fumbling it away the previous time, did its job with an impressive scoring drive to give us the lead back, and now we'll see what the defense can do here to keep it.
Quincy has scored. Rolling back. Mosier under pressure gets it away at the 10-yard line, and we are going to have an in-the-grasp downing by the quarterback as Mosier was under all kinds of pressure in the backfield, and that's intentional grounding all the way back at the 10-yard line.
Yeah, really a terrible decision by the quarterback to throw it because he knew he was going to get sacked. He may as well just take the sack and now going to add more yardage and the loss of the down.
Yep. So the loss of 10 on the play. plus the penalty yardage, and things really unraveling for Moline here. And indicative of some of the things Coach Mike Tracy was telling you about in the pregame interview that a lot of people may not even remember at this point, Jim, having been played at 7:15 last night. But these are the struggles of a football team trying to get out of a hole that's lasted several years. These are the kinds of things that tend to go wrong. As we can attest ourselves, seeing the Silver Streaks go through some real struggles in the 90s and early 2000s. And now they try to spread it out. And, oh, getting off a tackle is Shaquan Davis as he was down behind the 10-yard line and then somehow bounced off at least one defender, actually gets it out across the 15 to the 16-yard line.
Yeah, heck of a run by Davis. He took a good shot down to the lower body and was able to keep his balance and fight off of that. We hit him at the line of scrimmage, but then he curled around right side or left side and picked up a hard-fought 7 yards.
So the ball now spotted at the 16. But keep in mind the loss of the down with the intentional grounding and the pass up the near side in the flat. Right back to Davis with the catch at the 25-yard line, but he slips and goes down. Pretty good coverage there between Caleb Clay and Matt Ricketts. I don't think he would have been able to turn and get the final 4 yards for the first down anyway. So now brings up 4th and 4 from the Moline 26-yard line, and the Maroons have to go for it, trailing by a touchdown.
Well, here's where that is such a devastating penalty when you get the intentional grounding. To lose big yardage and a down at the same time, there's really not a more difficult penalty to take.
They picked up 18 on the last two plays, but they're still 4 yards short. Back to pass, Mosier on a screen pass. Intercepted! Intercepted at the 36-yard line by Fernando Diaz. And that should be enough for the Streaks to maybe salt this one away with just under 3.5 minutes to play. Better than a punt for the Silver Streaks.
Absolutely. You take away the risk of having to field a punt or knock down the punter or any of those things that can happen to you on one of those special teams plays. Give the ball right back to the offense. They're looking at the clock, 3:26 to go. Has Moline used a timeout yet, Brad?
I think they've used one, if I remember correctly.
So we would need probably at least one first down here to be able to salt the game away.
So the drive starts from the Moline 36-yard line for the Silver Streaks. Handoff right to Myler. Yards are easier to find right now. He gets inside the 35 down to the 32-yard line, and a good gain on first down. A couple more of those, and they will get that first down that they need.
Now the Streaks with such a hammer right now because Moline, they'll have to use their timeouts here at some point, and if they do, they won't have any time hardly left when they get the ball.
29 carries for Nick Myler in this game for 115 yards, 2 touchdown runs. He's also had some pass receptions that have been big in this game. It has been a singular effort on his part. Hand off to the left side. There's some room to run for Myler. Gets to the outside, taken down inside the 20. We've got another face mask down there. We also have a flag back in the backfield, which may be against the Silver Streaks.
We've got a face mask here, too.
Yep, face mask that came on the end of the play with Myler finishing it off inside the 20. Now the referees are going to have to saunter over and talk this one over. I think Tim Doherty knows the first one was against his team because he was directing some frustration there, it looked like, from the sideline back at the players back toward the line of scrimmage. That did not look to be, you know, pumping the guys up, way to go, way to finish this game off. That looked more like, don't be doing those kinds of things. We've got the game in our hands, and the body language seemed to be that was a costly play, guys. We had a big positive play there, and it's going to come back. But then there's the 15. Well, again, we don't know for sure what kind of a face mask it was at the end of the play, but it sure looked like it could have been a 15-yarder.
Okay, the explanation is they will go ahead and take the hold back the 10, just like we did earlier in the game, and then we'll mark off the 15 on the face mask. So it should still be a bit of a net gain for the Silver Streaks.
Yeah, it'll be a gain of five, and then the Streaks will actually face 2nd and 1 because it was 2nd and 6. So the 10-yard penalty against the Silver Streaks, but unfortunately it negates another great run by Nick Myler that would have set up a first down. As it is, the Streaks are now going to have second down and one.
It is hard for the officials. I mean, the four of them are trying to have a conference on what they're going to do. And, of course, they're over here close enough to the Silver Streak sideline that the whole coaching staff is helping them to determine where the ball should be. And I'm sure it's frustrating when you're the other side, and you're Mike Tracy over there, and you would like to run across and have some input and hear what's going on here, but you just have to wait and see what finally washes out.
Well, it's actually going to end up being second and two. So the spot of the hold. Is the reason it's not just a straight 10 back and 15 forward. But still, as you said, Jim, a net gain for the Streaks of four. And it'll be second and two now with 2:39 to go. And the clock rolls with the Streaks leading by a touchdown. Ross under center. Trying to finish off their fourth straight win against the Maroons. Myler to the right side. Gets the first down inside the 25 to the 24. Well, we need to start talking about Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game candidates. Myler is certainly one of them. I mean, overall, he's been the man in this game beginning to end. And all the hard work early on by the offensive line is now paying off with some good yardage gains on the ground for the Silver Streaks. Jacob Ross has passed the ball very well in this game, 8 for 9 for 114 yards. Jacob Carl with some big receptions. Fernando Diaz with a big interception that gives the ball back to the Streaks here, starting at the 36, now inside the 25, handoff right. More room to run inside the 20-yard line, and just another good, hard, strong run by the Silver Streaks. The offensive line isn't even creating big holes at this point.
At this point, it doesn't look like we're going to give the ball back at all. We are going to just wind this baby down. Moline not stopping it here.
Just give it to Myler and let him run.
They trust it in his hands, I think, more than he's had a fumble this year. But, in fact, he had the one earlier in the game, didn't he, last night? Yeah, Nick had the fumble earlier in the game, but most of the time he's going to tuck it away.
125 yards on 31 carries now, plus two touchdowns. Second and four for the Streaks at the 19-yard line. Give it back to Myler to the left side. Off a big hit, and somehow he keeps on his feet and moves that ball forward another 2 yards, despite a big hit by Dalton Dodd.
Yeah, I think Dodd actually got the worst of that one, believe it or not. He came over, he and Myler. Well, Myler comes off holding his neck a little bit, too. That was quite a collision
between
two good football players.
Myler picks up two more. So, again, the Streaks are facing short distance on third down. At the 16-yard line, Moline's called timeout here. Let's see, I've kind of lost track. Streaks have faced third down so many times. 13, 15, 7 of 15. As Jensen Wren gets a partial standing ovation from the crowd, Gary Mitchell, our public address announcer, recognizes her. Again, Jensen, the homecoming queen, but recognizing her for being the only cheerleader out here today in full uniform. She was joined earlier by a couple of other young ladies. Hannah Tucker was down there, so was Sarah Clayton, but they had other obligations. Again, the homecoming dance tonight. And as you said, Jim, it's such a complicated thing when you got to postpone the game on Friday night. You got a tennis invite, a volleyball quad going on, the cross-country team, the golf teams are out of town. You got so much happening. And with homecoming, it's big hair appointments and so on, and those can't be rescheduled. So good job for Jensen Wren tonight. Today, rather. Hand off to the right side. They go to Myler again, and why not? He gets inside the 15-yard line, stacked up, and now the whistles come. Myler never did go down, and now we got another flag down at the end of the play.
You had a feeling that just you get that many guys in a scrum with the way these two teams have been chipping at each other. Even at a critical time like this, there was going to be a flag. It was thrown behind the Silver Streaks, so I've got a feeling this one's going against Galesburg.
Well, and Jacob Ross came out immediately, and he had his... Oh, it's a face mask, a personal foul face mask against Moline.
Well, there was a surprise.
Well, if Myler didn't get the first down on his own, and it looked like he may have been a half a yard short of it, that will pretty much do it now. 51 or 57.9 showing on the clock?
57.
Okay. So that is the third Moline personal foul penalty in this quarter. Sorry, they're fourth.
Assistant coaches say we're taking a knee here. They make the officials aware of that.
Each of the last four penalties by Moline have all been personal fouls.
Ross will have 25 seconds from when the clock starts before he has to snap it. And so we will just stand here and look at the beautiful green turf for a little while.
And feel the breeze.
Yep.
Notice the blue sky.
This is what football players live for, to savor the final minute of what is almost certainly going to be a Galesburg victory against Moline, their fourth straight over this team.
After 19 consecutive years of not winning. And they're trying to turn that around the other direction now.
And that is going to be it. I don't think there's going to be another snap in this one.
You know, it doesn't matter what sport. These two teams don't have a whole lot of love lost when they play each other anyway.
No,
whole
groups can graduate, but it just seems like you put on the colors and you're going to get feisty with these guys.
So we're going on to 4, 3, 2, 1, and the Streaks will not have to make another snap, and they win their first home game of the season and a big homecoming victory to open up the conference season as Galesburg starts off a very important 1-0 in the Western Big Six with a 21-14 victory over the Moline Maroons. We'll take a timeout. Your postgame's coming up next on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Silver Streaks football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Dave's Auto Body in Galesburg. You better call Dave's. Galesburg Nissan on North Henderson Street. You just can't buy a Nissan for less. McDonald's in Galesburg and Knoxville. I'm loving it. By Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating in Galesburg. You deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill. Courtright Construction of Oneida. The right choice for your next project. Silver Streaks football is also brought to you by Breedlove Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee, OSF St. Mary Medical Center in Galesburg, all together better. By Kratty Insurance Agency, your local Rockford Mutual Insurance Agency in Galesburg. Proud to bring you GHS Silver Streaks football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
The official WGIL forecast for today calls for sunshine with highs near 70. Tonight, clear, low 45. Tomorrow, sunny, high 72. Tomorrow night, clear, low 48. Monday, sunny, high 76. Clear skies Monday night. And on Tuesday, sunshine with a high of 79. Currently, it's 66 degrees at 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
WGIL's coverage of Silver Streaks football continues with the GHS postgame show on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
21-14, Silver Streaks win it over the Moline Maroons. Galesburg 1-0 in the Western Big Six, even their record at 2-2 on the season. But that 1-0 is the real important number. Looks like the Streaks are going to break huddle. Jim, as we get ready to throw it down to you, I was watching very closely the handshake line at the end. There really was a lot of good sportsmanship going on out there as the two players, the players from both sides were shaking hands. We can talk more about that. You've got Tim Doherty with you right now.
Coach, congratulations. These guys are going to have a lot more fun at homecoming tonight after getting the job done here today.
Yeah.
It's not Moline. It's tough. I mean, that was a grind out there against these guys.
Yeah, it was, you know, considering the circumstances coming back, and they had everything to win. I'm real proud of our guys. You know, they're a very good ball club, and I think our kids really showed their resolve. They didn't flinch. You know, they could have easily done that. So, you know, I'm real proud of our team.
Yeah, this is about as tough a battle inside the line of scrimmage. Both teams trying to make some yards offensively. Until you opened it up there with the pass, things were getting awful tough, but that passing game seemed to make the difference.
Well, you know, and Jacob made some really, really good throws. Had a guy open early, but, you know, I'm real pleased other than the fumble, you know, and we fielded that punt at the 2 or something like that. But, you know, kids are really, really battling through. We were 1-2 coming in this game, and, you know, I had the cancellation, and our kids just kept hanging in there.
You'll never play a perfect game, but I know you try and eliminate mistakes as much as possible. You had a couple of big penalties here early that gave them first downs, one on a punt. You know, the two fumbles allowed them to get short yardage and scored. So you clean all that up, and boy, who can stop us?
You know, exactly. Nick had the fumble on the – that was last night, I think. It seems like we've played two games. Our kids are really battling hard. You try to play air-free. We're close to that. But it just seems like when we do make a mistake, it's, you know, puts the game in balance.
Defensively, your thoughts on your performance out here?
You know, I think we gave them the short field. I think our defense has been as good or better than since I've been here. And I'm real proud we got some guys that can run and hit. And, you know, we just put them in a bad situation for their second score. But other than that, I'm real proud of, our defense.
And to get that first win on the home field, you've battled so hard and could have won those other two. But to get this one in another tight game has to be strong going into another home game next week.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and it's just you become what you face, and I think our kids really showed that today by the two short narrow losses against two quality teams.
All right, well, Coach, congratulations again. Great showing out here, and we'll see out here again against an improved UT team. That won't be easy next week.
No, it won't. Thanks for the fans coming out today and giving up a Saturday afternoon.
Back up to you, Brad.
Streaks win at 21-14. United Township did lose to Alleman 34-14, and Quincy has now taken a 21-7 lead over Rock Island with 7:34 to go before halftime. So that game a long way from over. In fact, they're at about the point when we had to postpone our game last night, 7:34 to go in the first half. But Rocky up two touchdowns there. Jim, while we got a moment, let's do our Dave's Auto Body crunch time player of the game. I'm thinking, Jacob Ross had the quarterback sneak on fourth and inches down here that gets the touchdown that wins the game. But, you know, I'm kind of liking Fernando Diaz for the interception that gets us the ball back and secures the victory, too.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and it's like you said, Nick Miter did a lot of things,
oh,
right?
Oh, my gosh.
You know, he had a fumble and he had, like Tim said, catching the ball at the two. It's funny because when that play happened, I looked over to Coach Doherty and he just seemed to take it in stride. And I thought, boy, most coaches would really grind on that. Well, apparently it sat a little more poorly than he let on. But with everything that Nick Miler did right today, oh, my goodness. I mean, what a warrior he was on offense and defense. So he's got to be a strong candidate, too. So, boy, you can pick today. You were up in the high spot. I'm going to let you go ahead and looking over the field. Tell me which player you want to take this week.
Well, due to the nature of the award, again, if it was an overall performance kind of a thing, a player of the game, no doubt it's Nick. I mean, by far.
Yep.
It's one of those games where you can look at what he did and almost feel like he physically put the team on his shoulders and said, we are going to win this game, and just did it by his actions out there.
Mm-hmm. And he's the one we trust. You can tell in the late game, he's the one. I mean, DeAndre, he's a really good player, but – but Nick is the guy, the senior, you know, the one guy returning in the starting backfield that when it's time to go ahead and cash in the late moments, he wants the ball. He was a little nicked up. He stayed in the game, and he was able to grind out the tough yards.
32 carries for 131 yards and two touchdowns, but I'm going with Fernando.
Okay. Yeah, that was the one that sealed it.
So Fernando Diaz with the interception that seals the 21-14 victory. And got the ball back for the Silver Streaks with about 3.5 minutes to go in the game. And Streaks ran out the clock from there in a 21-14 victory. Take a timeout. When we come back, we'll look at final statistics, get you updated on any other Big Six scores that might be worth following. We told you about the one that's a final already, and we'll close things out from Van Dyke Field where the Streaks polish off a homecoming victory, a hard-fought battle, but a 21-14 win over the Moline Maroons. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
This is the unlikely love story of the egg and the ring. One was round, the other was oval. One rolled, the other waddled. But the two stumbled into love when the egg fell into the ring's embrace, right on the McDonald's griddle. The result? A warm, round egg that lived happily ever after in an Egg McMuffin. Until it was devoured. You'll find a fresh cracked egg in every Egg McMuffin. It's the story of breakfast lovin'.
Trying to convey an idea to somebody else never results in the vision you had in your head. Take matters into your own hands. Let Breedlove Sporting Goods help you design your next t-shirt. Navigate to BreedloveSports.com, click on the t-shirt designer icon, and put your mad design skills to work. Start by picking your canvas, t-shirts, polos, hoodies, even drinkwear, signs, and banners. From there, you can customize everything, color, artwork, text, numbers, even upload an image. You can be the designer with Breedlove Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee. Get started now at BreedloveSports.com.
The only problem with money is that it doesn't multiply itself, or does it? At Tompkins State Bank, your money can make money for you. For a limited time, if you already have a checking account with us or decide to open one, you are eligible for a 13 or 27-month relationship CD at a rate we haven't seen in a while. Get in touch with us today and find out how much of a return you can make on your $1,000 minimum CD deposit.
New TSB checking accounts may require a minimum balance to open.
Tompkins State Bank, community-minded, customer-focused since 1884. Member FDIC.
Congratulations to Pro Football Pick'em Week 1 winner Josh Scholl. He won a $50 Cherry Street Restaurant and Bar gift certificate. You could win as well with 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Listing statistics brought to you by Craddy Insurance, your local Rockford Mutual Insurance Agency in Galesburg. Start off with the Moline Maroons. We talked about how much the Silver Streaks struggled to gain any positive yardage on the ground. Wasn't really any easier for the Maroons here in this game. 114 yards on the ground for the Maroons in this game on 3, 13, 16, 21, 30, 31 carries. And Noah Mosier, the quarterback, 3 for 5 with an interception for 36 yards. Wilson had was the leading receiver, 2 catches for 26 yards. On the ground, Shaquan Davis, also the leading rusher, 9 carries for 45. Quayshawn Wilson had 10 carries for 40 yards, including a touchdown. Davis had the other touchdown. Tyler Womack, 8 carries for 31 yards. Darvey and Ali, 2 carries for 7. And Noah Mosier, the quarterback, took the big sack there in the second half that helped the Silver Streaks defense. He finished with negative yards. Negative yards on the ground. Again, Moline, 9 penalties, 63 yards. But again, the last 4 were all personal foul penalties. Also had a player kicked out late in the game for the Maroons. 2 of those personal foul penalties came inside the 10-yard line, so neither one of those ended up being as big a yardage as they would have been had they occurred on another part of the field. For the Silver Streaks, and we talked about statistically, Nick Myler was the guy, 32 carries for 131 yards and 2 touchdowns. One of DeAndre Morin's lower statistical games, 19 carries for just 60 yards. And Jacob Ross had a touchdown on a quarterback sneak. He was 4 for minus 4. So Silver Streaks really getting it done on the ground with Nick Myler. Jacob Ross, though, offensively, how about through the air? 8 passes in 9 attempts. And the only one that was incomplete, he just led Jacob Carr a little bit too much on a wide-open pass. Otherwise, he would have had a perfect day. 114 yards through the air. 39 of them to Clay, 28 to Myler, and 47 to Carl, the leading receiver for the Silver Streaks. Galesburg had 6 penalties for 50 yards. No big ones in terms of yardage, but there were a couple of them that were key, including one on a third down that gave Moline a first down, one on a fourth down that gave Moline another first down. So there were some impactful penalties, no really big yardage penalties on the Silver Streaks. So, again, things need to continue to improve for the Silver Streaks in those areas, and obviously the 2 turnovers, which Moline was able to both turn around on a short field. So, you know, Jim, I think the outcome was the right one, given the team, I think, that played better, won this one. It just kind of had the feeling there in the fourth quarter that if we'd have played another quarter after this one, the way things were going, that this might have ended up being a 3-touchdown game by the time it was all said and done. It just felt like the Streaks were dominating the game that much by the time we got to the end. So
yeah, we were finally starting to get some openings up front and a little breathing room running the ball. But, you know, what's interesting to me is a lot of it's the psychology of the game, too. Moline, both of the times where we gave them those opportunities, I mean, they plowed it right into the end zone. I mean, they moved the ball better on those 2 possessions than they did, I thought, any other point of the game. I mean, it's like they smelled blood, they saw the goal line, and they just crushed it in on us. But throughout the rest of the course of the game, you know, first down here or there, but they really didn't move it with any authority at all.
Right. And I was most pleased that when I was talking to you about there as you were getting ready to coach Tim Doherty, I was watching very closely the handshake line at midfield at the end, and I saw good sportsmanship on both sides. Tyler Womack was the guy at the front of the line for Moline, and he was making extra effort as the front guy there to congratulate several players. Aiden Gabrew was getting some nice handshakes from a lot of players, and he gave, toward the end of the line, Aiden gave one of the Moline kids, and now I can't remember who it was. It might have been Davis. Gave him an extra handshake. So despite what was going on there at the field, I felt good about the way things ended just watching the handshake line at the end.
Yeah, and I noticed some of that, too, just as the final play went. Sometimes when you take a knee, things can get kind of tough.
True.
Even then. You know,
yep.
Frustration sets in. But then I guess the last one, we didn't even have to take the knee. But anyway, when it went off, Matt Ricketts and I think it was Darst and a few of the others were, you know, and the Moline players were reciprocating just good gestures, goodwill gestures. So I think you got to remember, in any event like this, you got 22 guys on the field. Personalities come into play.
Sure.
You know, there are certain guys that are going to just roll with it and go back to their huddle and do their thing. And there are others that are going to get agitated more easily, and they're more prone to start talking and gloating and those things. Every team's got that combination of guys, and when you get things heated, you're going to get a little of that. It's not like the angels are all on one side and the demons are on the other.
Right.
There's a little bit in that in all of us, you know. So I think that just obviously comes out. But the big picture is, yeah, there was a lot of good sportsmanship at the end of this game, and I don't think anything will come of it.
Close it out with final thoughts after this on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Peter, this premium pulled pork sandwich from McDonald's is pure perfection. I'd like to propose we provide them at our company picnic.
Persuasive point, Paul. I think our people would appreciate that. They're pretty passionate about pulled pork in these parts. In fact, I've seen postings from people proclaiming just how pleased they are with this McDonald's pulled pork sandwich in particular. Apparently, it's pretty popular.
Personally, Peter, I'm pretty positive that people prefer it because it's premium pork piled high in an artisan roll. It's priced at just $3.29 and they could pull right up and purchase one. But that's just my personal opinion.
Perhaps you're right, Paul. Why don't you put it in front of the picnic planners for their prompt approval?
Perfect, Peter. I'll keep you posted on the progress.
Please do.
For a limited time, price and participation may vary.
Streaks Football on WGIL, brought to you by Dickerson's Photography. Timeless images for you and your family. Office specialists providing solutions for your business. And by Dennis Twitty State Farm, helping you manage the risks of everyday life, recovery from the unexpected, and realize your dreams. Your home for Silver Streaks Football, WGIL.
Looking to spruce up your kitchen? Maybe add a decorative countertop or some new cabinets? Give Courtright Construction a call for a free estimate. They can create a one-of-a-kind countertop that has the look of real stone for a fraction of the price. Learn more at CourtrightConstruction.com. The right choice for your next project. Project. Courtright Construction of Oneida.
Have you ever compared football to your auto insurance? One fumble can cost you the game. And with auto insurance, not having the right amount of coverage is a weak offensive line. Hi, I'm Mark Craddy with Craddy Insurance, your Rockford Mutual Insurance in Galesburg. We'll make sure you have deductibles you're comfortable with, so no matter what play is made, you'll avoid the tackle. And our money-saving auto home discount is an automatic first down. Stop by Craddy Insurance on North Henderson Street and find out why Craddy and Rockford Mutual Insurance are the game-winning touchdown.
There are few things more exciting and overwhelming than buying a new home. As if the thought of moving isn't stressful enough, you have to worry about paperwork too? I'm Amber Smith, mortgage loan officer at Tompkins State Bank in Galesburg. Whether it's your first time or you've jumped through these hoops before, the process never gets less complicated. I do all the legwork I can and will hold your hand through the entire process. To put it simply, I've got your back. So when you're ready to take on the title of homeowner, come see me. NMLS 107-2208.
Tompkins State Bank. Member FDIC. Equal Housing Lender.
This is an announcement for all people who want to take a risk-free challenge to whiten their teeth in 5 minutes using clinically proven power swabs. This risk-free challenge is for people whose smile has been yellowed by coffee, tea, or smoking. It's so effective, we challenge you to try it for 5 minutes to see how white your smile could be. If lines are busy, try again. Dial 1-800-663-1502. That's 1-800-663-1502. 1-800-663-1502.
Whether it's with eeny, meeny, miny, moe, or a vast knowledge of football stats, pick your teams now for a chance to win with this week's Pro Football Pick'em on WGIL.com.
Streaks win their homecoming game, and they win their first game at home this season as well. 21-14 over Moline, and most importantly, Galesburg's 1-0 in the Western Big Six. They'll take on UT right here again next Friday night. Quick update, Rock Island has converted a Quincy turnover into points, and with about 4 minutes to go in the first half there, Quincy now leads 21-14 over the Rocks.
You mentioned next week United Township here, and I think in the many years we've been doing the games together, this is the first time we've had three straight home games, isn't it?
Yeah.
I cannot remember. That's very, for any team, that's unusual.
Yep. Yep, and to have 6 out of 9 overall at home, too, that's very rare.
Right.
And as it'll turn out, 3 Saturday games after we finish this one on Saturday.
And who knows, maybe more to come, depending on the weather.
Hard to say. So, again, UT in town next week. They lost to Alleman 34-14, so they'll come in with a 1-3 record as they are 0-1 in the conference, and the Streaks trying to get off to a very important 2-0 start next Friday night. Jim, thanks for being with us. I think we're going to get a little bit of the end of the Cubs-Cardinals game here coming up.
Yeah, it's been a great day. Streaks win, and the baseball game's going the way I like it, too.
So. The way you like it, but the Illini lost.
Yeah, that's right. They got crushed.
All right, our thanks to Terry Cavanaugh and Nick Simpson at the downtown studios, and thanks to all who helped make this happen here today, including the folks who came out, Jensen Wren, the lone cheerleader for most of the game, the baseball kids who came out when it looked like they weren't going to have anybody to run the concession stand, but they were able to open that up. So good things happened here today, and good team effort overall leads to a Streaks victory. For Nick and Terry downtown, for Jim Lee, I'm Brad Benowitz. Streaks win at 21-14, and have a good afternoon from Van Dyke Field.
Thanks for listening to GHS Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL, Galesburg Sports.